Blog Talk Radio. Hey, peace. Good early afternoon. Back from M. Pulau. This is Street Gospel number 22. Lesson 5 already, man. We jamming lesson 5. And today we're going to get into the most powerful place in your chart. This is some serious stuff, man. This is my favorite position that we're going to get into right here. It's the sweet spot. It is the place of God. It is the place of the Creator, without a shadow of a doubt. It's the hands of the, it's the position of the Creator that we're going to get into right here. All right? So before we do that, of course, let me run through these quick announcements. Visit the website, www.myastrologycoach.com. Click on the events tab. You will see a few things going on. Two things that I definitely would love your participation in will be, one is the Winter Solstice Fire Puja. Puja just simply means ceremony. We call it activation. This is where we collectively get together, and we will look at a particular body in the sky. In this case, it's the sun. Because it's the winter solstice, the sun is now officially has entered in what we call the Tropic of Capricorn, Capricorn constellation, where the winter officially begins. Those of you in the northern hemisphere, you will, at this particular point, the sun has reached its lowest peak, and every day from this point forward, especially on Christmas, light slowly starts to increase, meaning the days become longer. As we enter the winter, the days actually start to become longer. So that is a portal day from the Earth's relationship to the sun. Very important to understand this. The ancients in North America had plenty of places where they observed this type of stellar phenomenon. My favorites, Serpent Mound in Ohio, which on my latest blog on myastrologycoach.com, you click on blog, Daily Zohar. I wrote a blog called Daily Zohar Magnetic Fields in North America. And I put a YouTube video there that I did back in 2010 on a winter solstice. So 3 years ago, I traveled to Serpent Mound in the dead of winter, and we had a compass that literally says that you couldn't get a reading because it said nearby magnetic field detected. And it just wouldn't give you an accurate reading because Serpent Mound is a what we call a magnetic anomaly that takes place there. It's an influx of this energy that's right there. Now, Serpent Mound is 1,330 feet long of an earth serpent that the ancient people built, and it has this, some say, an egg or this circular thing that is going into the serpent's mouth. I look at the heavens and say, hey, I know what that represents. That circular disc, to me, is the it is the sun, all right? So it's the sun, and it's at the winter solstice, at the summer solstice in this case, where the sun is in the constellation of Cancer. And from that particular point at the summer solstice, when you begin the summer, the days actually start to become shorter. So everything is like the number 8 in our reality. Everything is reversed, all right? You enter the summer with about to start getting hot, but the days are starting to get shorter. It's weird, right? So when you look at the constellation, and you can go to that blog, you'll see it, you will see that there's a constellation under Leo called Hydra, which is the longest constellation in the northern hemisphere, if not all of the constellations. And Hydra is 1,303 square degrees. So the ancients built an earth mound that's 1,300 feet in the form of a serpent. And then you look at Hydra, it's over 1,300 square degrees. And when you look at Cancer, Cancer sits above Hydra, above its head. So when the sun comes through Cancer and then the sun is starting to decrease from that particular point, it will look like it's about to come into the mouth of the serpent. That's what's taking place. To me, honestly, Serpent Mound does not represent Draco. It represents Hydra to me. All right? But it's a magnetic flux there. Obviously, they were studying the summer solstice, the winter solstice, and the equinox. Different parts of the serpent gets a certain angle of light at, depending at where you're at in space and time, all right? So the winter solstice is the reflection point of the summer solstice. So now you're at the tail of the serpent. But remember, in the ancient mystery schools, they would show you that the serpent swallows its tail, right? So this is a mythology, a stellar mythology that's taking place inside of you, all right? And inside of you meaning the serpent that's within you, more than Kundalini, activating your life force, all right? So you want to go, what we're doing is, myself and the Prime Minister, Minister Ju, we're traveling to a remote location, and we ask that everybody write your goals down, right? Write your goals down, and if you can, send it to us. Write it on parchment paper. Send it to our P.O. Box, right? P.O. Box 3200, Joliet, Illinois, 60434. Address it to IPORM, P-O-R-M, stands for Inner Peace Outer Reflection Ministries. IPORM, P.O. Box 3200, Joliet, Illinois, 60434, all right? Send it, because what we're going to do is we're just going to take that envelope and now check this out. Hey, y'all know Ju. That cat's email is Ju11, then word, then the number, 11, Ju1111 at Gmail. So he's always had this 1111 phenomenon. That there's books about this 1111 phenomenon, so this was one of these things that always happened to him. But the winter solstice comes in at 1211, all right? So it's coming in on the magic minute, all right, and even the magic hour, because 12 in itself represents the 12 signs of the zodiac, all right, the highest number on the clock, all right. So it's something magical that's about to take place. And plus, this is your first winter solstice after the December 21st, 2012 winter solstice. This is your first annual celebration all by yourself without the Mayan and Olmec telling you what's going to happen. Now it's your turn now. All right? So we will be traveling to one of these locations and burning it. What you can do is participate from afar. So we'll have a certain prayer that we'll say a certain amount of times that correspond to the celestial forces. Because remember, see, well, I'm at a snoring right now. Wherever the sun is in the sky in relation to the earth produces season. A season is a temperature. A temperature is a vibration. Therefore, your behavior becomes different. Therefore, the sound, the environment is a different environment, meaning there's celestial forces that govern what we call these 360 degrees of a circle or 365 days, right? The command changes just like the seasons changes and different angels become in charge of this particular area of space, all right? So then we got to tap into those particular beings. I give you a classic example of what I'm talking about. A year ago, in 2012, we did a $1 billion puja on October 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's a fact. That's on the record. And we said that this is a time of year that you are to focus in on your finances. Then a year later, in 2013, October the 1st through the 16th, the government was shut down because of its financial issues. And on October the 17th, which is the same day that we did it a year prior, the United States government get their finances together and say, hey, we're back in business. Let's go. So how is it that we do the same thing and they do it a year later mimicking what we did already? That was the creator showing you that this region of space indeed deals with finances. That's a fact. That's on the record. So the winter solstice is a certain point in space and time, again, that we are to work on our goals, your ambition, which you want to acquire, your public status. This goes beyond your job. This is your big boy job. It's your dream job. It's your dream career. It's your dream contribution that you give to the world, to the public. And I'm not saying that you're going to be in the world on a world stage. I'm not saying that. I'm saying turn your, make your job into your dream job. If you have ambition still, let's tap into that. Never stop that, all right? This is the portal for that, all right? So you'll get an email, obviously, when you sign up for it to give you the, you know, the names and, you know, the instructions of what we're going to do. But I urge you, if you want to keep your goals to yourself and burn it yourself, that's fine. I'm just saying we're going to a magnetic spot that I prove that if you go to the blog and look, there's a magnetic influx right there. And while that I'm on a physical place on the earth that has a magnetic influx that the ancients built right here in America, and then above my head or what appears to be above my head, there's a celestial portal opening up at the same time. Oh, no, no, I can't miss that. No, 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 no. I'll be there doing something. Injecting my stream of consciousness, collectively, all of us, into that portal to amplify everyone's goals at that particular time because there's a grand opening taking place. So you can burn it. I suggest you send it so we can burn it from that sacred location. And that's why I quoted a couple things from the good old text, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, where the Creator appeared to Moses as a burning bush, and then the Creator is always requiring a burnt sacrifice using fire. Give me something of the fire element before you come talking to me. That's God. And on the mundane saying, he's saying, yo, I want you to stop and bring me some of that Dwight's barbecue off Germantown Avenue. That's what God's talking about. Give me some. But my point is, use that fire. All right? So that's what we'll be doing for the winter solstice. Go to the website, click on the events tab, and then it'll walk through the process and let's make it happen. Another thing is, since Christmas is coming up, which is the winter solstice itself, right, I'm going to do a joint on Christmas. In fact, I put a little thing up there about holidays, you know, and about Valentine's Day. Should we scrap Valentine's Day? And let me get into the Christmas first and come back to the Valentine's Day. This is our first annual, big shout out to Inez. Inez is the first and only person so far, thus far, who's donated to the first annual My Astrology Coach and EyePoint Inner Peace Outer Reflection Ministries first annual Christmas giveaway, where we're going to locate a shelter for women, where we already did, located a shelter for women, and we're going to just give, man, give to the children and people that's in need. So if it's canned goods, old clothes, I don't care what it is, mail it to the P.O. box, whatever you want to give away, mail it. All right, and then we're going to take it over to the shelter and give it to somebody. All right, so participate in that, because it ain't about the money with that. If you want to send money, that's fine. Money, you can do that through the PayPal, right? The PayPal email address, just go to your PayPal, send it directly, because I don't have a tab up. Just if you want to do PayPal, just go to PayPal and send it directly. And the email address to our account is network@myastrologycoach.com. That's network@myastrologycoach.com. If you want to send money order or whatever else that needs to be sent by mail, send it to IPORM. Again, it's Inner Peace Outer Reflection Ministry, so you can abbreviate it, IPORM, P.O. Box 3200, Joliet, Illinois, 60434. All right? Because we're going to give a Christmas giveaway to the people while this portal is opening up. Right? So you got to give. All right? Now, talk about this Valentine's Day. I asked a quick question, and this ties into Christmas, right? Because my children, they're asking me about Christmas, right? So the wife is like, we don't celebrate Christmas around here. We don't do that, right? So, and you right, we don't, right? And I'm sitting up here, and I'm thinking, I'm saying, but Ampoo, you know what this really represents. And then, see, I think sometimes we get so conscious, man, that we go crazy. Seriously, I know it, because there's a question I got pending right now about money, and I'm looking at the responses that I'm getting back, and I said, wow. We get crazy when we get conscious. I'm telling you, I'm going to have to do a whole series on that alone, right? So anyway, the if I look at Christmas, right, and I'm saying, you're going to tell me, right, that the legend going to go, man, the evergreen tree represents Nimrod, brother. And Nimrod was the first. You ain't never had no proof of a Nimrod even existed. Nimrod is nothing more than, at this particular point, since you're not an archaeologist, since you haven't been over there in the land and went to go digging yourself and you're claiming, and you don't got no books on your historical findings, and that's not even a part of you, but you just study and read stuff, but you don't necessarily, it's not your profession. You form an opinion and tell me what these things are, and they may not even exist as actual people. They may just be principles. But nevertheless, I know when I observe nature in real life, bump what I'm reading in the past, when I make an observation and I'm looking in my backyard and I got this this evergreen tree back there, and it's the only tree right now to this day that has not lost not one leaf, in this case a needle. And then I go look up the totem, and it says the totem of the tree really represents resurrection, and also it represents immortality. I don't even represent resurrection. It represents immortality. It's something that never dies. The only tree in nature that says, bring me the harshness of the winter, which is Saturn rule, which is the planet of death, right? Bring me the harshness of nature, and I can withstand it. There's something about me and my chemical makeup that I'll be here. Rain, sleet, or snow, summer, spring, fall, I'm here, right? So you bring it in your house at this particular time of year when the sun is at its lowest peak in the sky and it's cold. It's a celestial portal opening up, and you decide that you're going to give gifts to your loved ones. I just have to ask myself, well, damn, is that really a bad thing to do? I'm just asking. I think what happens is somewhere along the line, since you're introduced to it by Europeans who beat your ancestors behind, and you see the remnants of the injustice in this in society, we may say, I don't want nothing to do with what he's initiated. And that's true. I understand that. All I'm saying is I'm going to make an argument for a great conversation purposes so we can come to a rightful conclusion. I just want to know, I know it's a celestial portal opening up. So is it necessarily a bad thing because somebody else did something, an immoral act on a celestial portal, and they dubbed it on that day to make it their reoccurring theme? Huh? So I asked a question about Valentine's Day. Big shout out to Tanika, who got the calendar, who cheated and just blew the whole thing. I asked a question about Valentine's Day. And I said, on Valentine's Day, should we scrap it or should we observe it? And Tanika comes, and she says, according to the eighth day of the Kadosh Ishah, which is our calendar, the moon calendar that we created, which we start our first day of the month, we start on the full moon, the eighth month of our calendar is February 14th, which you know is Valentine's Day. It's a full moon in Leo. So, of course, people, big shout out to my homie B. B was like, stop trying to make something spiritual that ain't, right? And I said, B, I'm just asking a question. I'm like, I say we keep it because the sun is in Aquarius, which represents the age that we're in, and the moon is in Leo, which represents love, the constellation of love, children, and romance. It's the Sphinx. It's you know, our ancestors dealt with that region of space as well. So to me, if you're dealing with anything on a yearly, this happens every year, what you need to look at is the relationship to the earth, to the sun, because it's a yearly theme that's taking place. So, of course, the full moon in Leo does not happen every year on February the 14th. But maybe when they initiated it, it was within this region of space. Now, let's just say they didn't have nothing to do with initiating, and this was the Valentine's Day massacre, or being like me and say this was a group of pedophiles who put this together. I'm saying my argument was that the knowledge of the Creator, as the Zohar speaks about how everything that mankind will ever do and think has already been preordained far as the zodiac goes. Meaning the spiritual program to your physical activities in this life is a law that has already been encoded inside of the stars. So therefore, if a pedophile come or do anything on this particular day, it does not take away the cosmic meaning of the day. So I asked myself, do I want to disconnect myself from that day and not express what the day really represents? So, see, everything, this is what I'm saying, everything happens by the Creator's will. So even if a pedophile did something, that's the Creator allowed that to happen. All right? So you got to be crafty enough to see the beauty inside of God and say, wait a minute. Valentine's Day represents love because the moon is over here and the sun is over here in the age that we're in, and this represents the two primary luminaries balancing themselves out. Let's go back to Christmas, or, you know, if the gateway is open. So are these necessarily bad things? I know. Christmas is every day. Valentine's Day is every day. I know it is. And let's keep it real. Valentine's Day is every day, and we single, right? We ain't even got the loved one in our life, and Valentine's Day is every day. Listen, it should be. Absolutely right. I get the concept. It should be. But every day, the moon ain't in Leo, damn it, for you to express that love. Nor is the sun in Aquarius that's going to radiate the age that we're in every day. We get these things in portions, man. Portions. Celestial portions is what we get. So when the celestial portion come and that portal open up, we have to participate in certain things to amplify, to go in accordance. We see, now what we're doing is we're divorcing ourselves from cosmic law by not engaging in physical ritual. Think about that. I'm not going to show my love for you because somebody else did something malefic on this day. I don't care what nobody did on that day. It got nothing to do with me. Understand cosmic law and divinity. Right? So let's take it back. Let's take it back upstairs. All right. 1 second, y'all. So, all right, so let's recap. Let's bring out your astro journals, right? Break it out. Because there's some things that's going on, some serious stuff that's going on here. First thing I have up is make a notation on 13 degrees Capricorn. It's a very sensitive spot in the sky. Late April, what's going to happen is Mars is going to be 13 degrees Libra, Uranus is going to be 13 degrees Aries, and Pluto is going to be 13 degrees Capricorn. This is going to be called a cardinal T-square, and this is going to be vicious because the three most malefic planets in the sky are all going to be at the exact number forming a perfect right angle triangle. Perfection. It ain't going to be slightly. I mean perfection is going to be here at 13 cap. Now, 13 cap to me symbolizes the formation of government. Because you got 13 stars and stripes, government has always been symbolic by Capricorn. All right? Now, Pluto is there that says, I want to kill and transform government. I'm going to destroy it. Interesting, because when the Federal Reserve came into play, Pluto was in Cancer. Pluto is now in opposition to the formation of the Federal Reserve while being in the sign that represents the decay of government, the transformation of government. Uranus and Aries, I am a crazy psychopath. If I feel like humanity has suffered or has been in the box, we're going to suddenly explode by the way of conquest, Aries. Mars in Libra, as the Prime Minister called it, the superhero complex. I must come in and save the day. Justice must prevail. It is an odd by squaring Capricorn. So look at this. Mark your calendars for late April. Now, speaking of Mars, Mars just went into Libra yesterday at 3:43 p.m. I'm supposed to have some sirens right now. This is a bona fide cold red danger zone. This is dangerous because of what I just told you, that the energies now have set themselves up to form this right angle triangle. It's there, but it's not perfect yet, but it's there. So now the battle is about to begin. It's about to begin. It has begun. It's on now. Mars in Libra, as I talked about last show, this is dangerous for potentially for relationships, close friendships, because Mars is out of pocket here. So it is imperative if you are in a relationship, you're angry about something, or some things are agitating you, you better get it out in the open now before these energies become tight. So you got to ask yourself, why does an alignment that appears to be over our head, how does that have an influence on human behavior? And it does. Now, this could mean, I'm a fan of sometimes you got to let somebody have it. That's a part of nature. That's a part of a process. The only thing I'm not a fan of is if you desire not to argue with someone, let's just say, you know, people who you love in your house, your mate, because we're talking about Mars and Libra, your partner. You don't necessarily desire. Some people do and don't even know it, though. Let's say you don't desire to have an argument in a fight, this altercation. But yet, it happens. Where do that come from? Let's really think about that. You don't want to, you love a person, right? But where is this anger coming from? Oh, it was just miscommunication. It happens all the time, brother. Shut up. Hey, now stop that. Where does that come from? Because you desire not to have that reality, but it happens. It's happening against your will now? If it is, it's against your will, which means that that's almost saying that that's the external force that's doing it, because in your internal mind you're saying, I have control and I don't want this. What is that? What is that suggestion that comes in that sparks the conversation where you say the miscommunication comes from? I'm talking about the suggestion, the thought form, not the communication, the original thought form. Where does that come from? So anyway, give you this timeline. Mars just got here. And so I had to tell everybody in the Astral Network, in Astral Tarot Network as well, exactly where this energy is for you personally. If you're not in that, you need to find that out for yourself. So I'm serious about this, man. You're going to see. You're going to see, especially on the red days. You're going to see. Now within the next eight months, because Mars does not come out of here until July the 25th. So we got 8.5 months and 229 days of this madness that's about to happen. So what does this mean for you? If you got something in Libra, and guess what? There's a whole generation of people. And big shout out to my man, Jeff, in the network. Jeff is my brother in the network who called me because he's trying to figure this out, right? Call me at 8 o'clock, Jeff, and I'd be up calling. He called me. He said, I need to learn how to transmute this energy. What's going on? Because I don't want to have this type of stuff going on. What's up? I said, well, damn, Jeff, thank you, because that gave me an idea. I can share that in the morning with the radio audience, because I want to talk about this generation of people, because there is a 12-year group of people who got Pluto in Libra. And that's if your birthday is from, if you were born in October of 71, all the way up to November the 6th of 1983, if you fall in that range, you have Pluto in Libra. Pluto, the planet of destruction and death. Mars is a co-ruler of Scorpio with Pluto, so he's the little brother of Pluto who's more aggressive and more younger and more dynamic. So he brings the same energy with more fire, though. So both of them represent an element of some type of death. It don't have to necessarily be a physical death, and it can be that, but it can represent the end and transformation of some type of relationship because of Libra, right? So Mars is here now for the group of people born from October 71 to November the 6th of 83. And then some of you in 1984 got it because Pluto retrograde. And that was if you were born from May the 19th, 1984 to August the 28th, 1984. If you're within that little 3-month time span in 84, you have Pluto in Libra too. And Mars coming in Libra is going to be in the exact same line of space where Pluto was when you were born, that is going to bring some type of fire to your relationship. Now, the question becomes, how are you going to determine what the fire is? Because, see, you are the master alchemist down here. In the realm of Earth, you have fire, air, earth, and water. You have all four elements, and you are the magician on the magician tarot card that lays out the cup, the coins, the sword, and the wand all on the table because all of the elements are before you. And it is your job on how to fuse them together. But fuse them together where? Because it's on the 12th path. And the 12th path we give the letter Beth to, the second Hebrew letter, which is the very first letter in the Tanakh when you open up the Bible, which corresponds to house. So you must learn how to fuse these elements together in your house. Okay? Now, the fire represents initiation, meaning you take the initiative to start something. So it's now time for you to come up with a goal and use this fiery energy to go in a direction. Because cardinal, which is when Mars rules Aries starts the spring. Libra starts the fall. So therefore, the expression, even though Mars is out of pocket in Libra, the expression is the same because Mars starts the spring when it rules Aries. Libra starts the fall, okay? So they both, and they balance each other out. One is the spring equinox, one is the fall equinox. So these are balancing points. So it's about relationships coming into a balance. I'm a living example of it. I am here to open up my life, in a sense, so y'all can see the principles at work here and hopefully avoid the costly mistakes that I've made. And I don't understand. I always got to stress this, and I got to put it. You know how to curb yourself from the nonsense? I'm going to tell you how to curb yourself from what we call the yes Sahara, the evil inclination. You make it public record. You do all your stuff in the public, out in the open, so it can be validated. So what do they do? Before they open up a bar, they slap it with a big old bright orange sticker to say, public notice, the Juju bar is about to open up and wants to sell alcohol. So therefore, if you want to contest it, basically, you better understand, you know, who's running the ordinance and whatnot and get in contact with the proper people. But y'all been put on notice. So when they come here, don't start crying later because y'all was put on public notice. And that's the higher part of your chart, houses 7 through 12, particularly the 10th house has dominion over it. When you do things in a public manner as a public official, right, you're sworn in to uphold something to the public because you're a public servant now. So you do everything in the public that makes you responsible, meaning the light is on you. So now when you're a superstar, you can't do certain things. Right? Because the light is on you. You're going to be in the scandal. You're going to be on the news. You're about to lose your endorsements. Because the light is on you. That's how you curb the evil inclination. Right? Saying that to say that my pact that I make, I can tell Minister Jew all the time. And he'll tell you, I'll roll with you. And we split everything under one condition. And I mean this. Under one condition, you never, ever do the things that I have done to jeopardize family. Meaning becoming arrogant and lost within the knowledge and impatient. Never have, man, don't lose patience in your journey with your wife. And don't play out of bounds. If it's going to be a good cop, bad cop around here, damn it, I'll be the bad one and you be the good one. That's the promise. And we can do it. Right? saying that to say that I'm giving y'all this as real life experience. This ain't no theory. This is real life experience. All right? So anyway, you have to determine the fire. The fire is about you taking the initiative. This is an 8-month goal now. Mars is in Libra for 8 months. And bless your heart if you was born with something in Cancer and you was born with something in Aries, because Pluto's in Capricorn, and if you got anything there. And some of you do. You 80s babies who got like Neptune and Uranus inside of Capricorn, where Pluto is right now. See? So now this is like a double effect that's taking place. Serious stuff. So how do you beat it? The consciousness of your decision making is how you beat it. And there's certain Kabbalistic principles that you can use that I won't give out right now because I have to make sure everybody in the network has that understanding first. Sorry. But I'll give you something. I'll tell you what, and this ain't no cheesy antidote. It's the most powerful one. It's called prayer. I'm just here to show you I know the time, and I'm very good at showing you the time of when to activate it and what force it is. All right? So the fire is about the initiation. Now check Mercury out. Let's move on to my next note because Mercury had just went into Sagittarius on Jay-Z's birthday, so big shout-out to the big homie Hove on the 4th. But Mercury in Sagittarius is considered to be in his detriment. It's out of pocket because she, which is Mercury, loves to be over in Gemini. So Mercury here could potentially represent miscommunications right now. Now, luckily, Mercury's so close to the sun, it's the closest planet to the sun and moves the fastest. It gets out of here on Christmas Day. So we only got about approximately 21 days. But these next 21 days is like 21 days of miscommunication. So that's interesting because Jay-Z embarked on a 22-day challenge because he said that it takes 21 days. Psychologists say it takes 21 days to break a habit. And those of you who are on my Facebook page, you see that Oprah and Deepak Chopra just did this thing where they did 21 days or something because it's 21 days to rid a habit or 21 days to instill a new pattern into your mind. And now Mercury's in detriment in Sagittarius, right? But two signs back in Libra was Mars is. So Mercury and Mars got two things in common, but really three. One is both of them out of pocket because Mercury belongs in Gemini. Look at the wall clock. I'm saying Sagittarius is 9 o'clock on the wall clock. And then I'm saying that, hey, when Mercury's there, it's out of pocket because it belongs at 3 o'clock on the wall clock, okay, which is Gemini. So anytime a planet is an opposite sign from its natural home, it's out of pocket, called a detriment or a fall. Okay? So Mercury's in detriment. Well, Mars supposed to be at 7 o'clock on your wall clock. Well, he's at 7 o'clock now. He naturally belongs at 1 o'clock. So he's two's out of pocket. And the distance between these two is only two signs away. One is fire, Sagittarius, where Mercury is. The other one is air, Libra, where Mars is. These two are approximately 60 degrees away from each other. This is called a sextile. This is harmonious because fire needs air to breathe. Therefore, these two are in harmony with one another. Mercury, the messenger god of communication and detriment, is now supporting this butthead named Mars who likes to start fires and conflicts. Ain't that something? So they're rolling together, both out of pocket right now. So you got to watch them too. And Mercury represents travels, short travels, right? And Mars represents accidents. Now, this ain't a harsh affliction because I said the distance of space, approximately 60 degrees from each other, they support one another. But this could also mean a supportive aspect for negative energy to come in much easier now. So don't just look for the opposition in the harsh points.
Because sometimes it's easier to come into you when it's a trine or a sextile. That's the opportunity, all right? So the opportunity on a larger scale, on a big scale, is for us at this particular time to improve our thinking process, think big, optimistic, but stay grounded, but most importantly, use the Martian principle again to become extremely active here. Mars in Libra represents a relationship that two people are physically, I'm going to put emphasis on physical, are physically expressing and exuding energy. This is not the time where you don't feel like having sex with your partner. Maybe you got some type of Saturn affliction because if one person wants it, this is going to be conflict. This is the type of energy now that says both of you must now get up and go work out together and go ride your bikes together. Because Mars wants to do something physical. And sitting there in the room, Om Gom Gamapatiye Namaha, is not necessarily enough for Mars. He wants to exude physical energy. He wants to be tired at the end. Because the influence in the air and the constellation, you become restless, and then it's like the bickering starts, all right? So our mind has to be on physically doing things that progress the relationship for 8 months. Set an 8-month goal with your partner and close friendships, because Libra is close friendships, all right? Now that we got that there, we just had a new moon in Sagittarius on December the 2nd at 11 degrees at the magic number. Right? New moon in Sag represents new ideas, new big things. And it's just a very versatile time. This is just a time to expand your awareness. All right? Want to go back to school? Depending where it fell at, this was probably an imprint that suggested that for you. If you felt that, really look into that. All right? So let me make sure I got all that there. Oh, let's recap on... Let's recap on Venus. We're in the shadow of a Venus retrograde, ladies and gentlemen, all the way up to it started on November the 20th, all the way up to 12/21, because on 12/21, on the winter solstice, Venus goes retrograde. So my point being with Venus is Venus is a traditional ruler of relationships. Now look at what we say. Venus is in Capricorn. And we talked about Mars being in Libra, squaring Capricorn, and it's like I'm mad at you because you ain't at home, because Venus rules Libra, and Mars is there looking for her, but she's over here skirting off in Capricorn, right? So therefore, they squaring each other by sign placement, not by degree yet, but by sign placement, they're squaring each other. So relationships going to have, again, more issues now because Venus is going to be in conflict with Mars while Mars is in the sign that he really don't belong in. All right, so this is as to the fury here. Now, since, again, it's about goals and ambitions because it's about Venus location being in Capricorn, Pluto, who is the last, that's the last planet that's coming out of this cardinal sign here, is going to be there for a few more years, like 12 more years, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of pressure is on the Capricorn frequency for us to build ambitions and goals and really accomplish some things so we can be successful in life, all right? So this is where the feminine energy of Venus is right now in the sky. So anything about your relationship and career orientation, the both of these two, and how they possibly need to be one, but it is one because these are fragments of your mind inside of you. The first thing we want to know about when we get readings is what that money looks like and what my relationship look like, right? And rightfully so. These are two critical points in our life. We will get a glimpse, because Venus is not retrograde yet, from November the 20th all the way up to December 21st, we should get a glimpse of what it is that we need to work on and go back over, review, focus on, and get things done, all right? So when she goes retrograde and finally squares off on Mars, you're not going to have that kind of problem. So you got to be able to make an assessment for yourself when you need to clean. What area need cleanup? Clean up. For me, now check it out. I'll show you a classic example, right? Here I go again. Put myself on the line. I got Venus coming through my seventh house, which means Pluto been in my seventh house for a few years now, since like 07 in the sky. and the constellation that represents my seventh house. So it's like, I want to kill your relationship. I want to transform it. But if you're not mature enough to know how the transformation will be, because Pluto represents sexual secrets, right? And you already got an eighth house stellium, nigga, so it's easy for you to be involved in something like that, right? And you got Mars over there, which is really a malefic force that just don't have no patience, and he just don't have no patience. You know what I'm saying? That's the one thing you can knock the Aries about. They jump in head first because it's the realm, no patience, don't even think about it. Pew, they gone, right? So the transformation is stress on relationships for you, right, will be there. So Venus in the sky is here in this region of space, and she's saying, I want to bring peace, balance, and love back to this area of your life, Ampoule, right? This is what I want to do. This is the cosmic goddess in the sky saying this. I mean, but before I go off into Aquarius, which I know you're extremely comfortable with, Mr. Aquarius, and all you who got wherever Aquarius at in your chart, before I do this is Venus talking, I am going to back on up into Capricorn to make sure that we all learn the Capricornian lessons of value and success, because Venus is values, value and success, relationships and money, because Venus rules Libra relationships, it rules Taurus money, relationships and money. So the two primary things we focus the most about, the concern about, this one planet represents this principle in this constellation right here. And we get a retrograde period where normally, like I said before, she goes through a zodiac sign in about 26 days. She be gone. She gonna be here for 5 months. This is weird. This ain't even weird. What it is it's called a grace period from the Creator. And that says, check this out. This is what I want to do for y'all, because I want y'all to be successful with y'all money and y'all relationships. It's time for y'all to get it together, right? So I give up. I surrender myself, right? I give up. I say, hey, I can't fight this relationship thing no more. I've been with you for 12 years, girl. I love you, you know, and I never planned on leaving you, and I thought I could, but I really just couldn't. But, you know, and it's just creating chaos in my life, because as I think that I'm going to move forward with somebody else, I'm getting other people involved in the situation here, and they're planning their life around me, and I wholeheartedly think that I'm going to be able to do that. And when it's time to do that, I can't do that. And why can't I do that? Because I really think I can do that. So now you crazy because you thought you could do that. You know what I'm saying? And it's all these things that's going on, man. So I surrender and I give myself up, because you gotta be blessed enough. I'm blessed. See, the Creator's wonderful. Because even in your trials and tribulations, they say, hey, this is Hashem, the name, the Creator. This is Hashem that's testing you to say, hey, do you see the divinity in what you're doing to yourself? Because this is me. I'm trying to talk to you here and show you something. Right? So I gave a beautiful classic example on the blog. And y'all go read it yourself. Go read my latest blog called The Daily Zohar Post. And I gave an example of synchronicity and how it works, right? So this Venus retrograde period comes back in the 7th and say, hey, you want some balance in this life? You in this area of your life? Let's go. So Pluto, unfortunately, and it don't have to be this way, because all of this is about your conscious decision. Pluto will represent the dark hidden forces of sexual nature and how you want to exude your power over other people and ultimately manipulate them and control them. That's the negative aspect of it. The positive aspect of a Pluto aspect, which is hard to see, is really understanding what transformation needs to take place and go through that process. Now this is the kicker. Pluto ain't no joke. The kicker is usually the transformation, there's no transformation without a conflict. That's the science. How do you transform without a conflict? Meaning, I always use the reference when we lift weights, right? You cannot become stronger without resistance, man. You see what I'm saying? You can't become stronger without resistance. So in order to avoid the physical conflict of the, let's just say, of what Pluto represents in the aspect of the sexual aspect, right, these are the affairs that are hidden, that's kept in the cut, all right? You will have to sit down with yourself before you go through this process and make these decisions and see how you need to transform yourself and be real with yourself before you embark on that particular journey. It's hard to do. It's hard to explain. The verdict is still out for me really. See, these things are, man, look how long somebody had to study a rotation of this whole thing just to get a definition and say, hold up. The precession of the equinox, approximately, they would say, is 26,000 years. Whoa, wait a minute. Man, you only living to be 100. I give you 200 years tops. You a bad boy, right? So the system that had to be in place to keep, say, to teach somebody to say, hey, I think this red thing that looked like a star, that's Mars. And we first located it in the year 1. I don't know what it means until it hits this particular point in the sky. Or if you were born with this right here, it got to hit this particular point in the sky. And then you get the first definition to say, when Mars hit this, I experienced a fiery attitude. Bam. Okay. I then need to see that happen again. Now, either I'm going to wait into a whole other cycle. In this case, it ain't even a year because Mars, on average, goes through a zodiac sign every, 58 days, almost 2 months. So a Martian year ain't the same as an Earth year. Or I need to make an observation of someone else that has something, the same thing right there, and say, okay, did you experience this? And this person say, yeah, I experienced this year too. And then I go to another person and say, hey, I experienced this year too. Right? So I want to shortcut it because I don't have time to observe for a whole year, let alone 25,000 years. And to record that data and give it back to the people so they can understand how it affects the psychology is a phenomenal, extremely long observation. And they had to do this because they say, hey, every 72 years, you know, this thing progresses 1 degree. You talking about every 72 years? What do you mean you sitting up here looking at the same thing for 72 years? To know what its effect is? My point being, observe yourself because the science is in the observation. All right? Now, let's move on with the lesson, man. I got to give y'all that because I really think that, especially in late April, we're going to see. And I'm going to put it on the record, man. I'm thinking we're going to see crazy acts with government, assassination attempts, something dealing with the court system, anything dealing with government, police force, any of that type of stuff is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be very similar to like a D.C. Navy Yard type of incident because the celestial influence is in the sky that suggests that. All right, and somebody losing their head. I mean, it's somebody brutally murdering someone in a relationship that makes world news type of thing. It's brutal. It really is brutal. Again, we live in a world that doesn't stop the press and everybody focus in on this person who hit the jackpot for $111 million, and they went and they opened up all these homeless shelters for the children, and we don't put emphasis and focus in our reality. So my whole thing is not a scare. And let me be clear, my whole thing is to give you polarity of energy. What you do with it is your choice, because I never want anybody around me or anybody that ever listened to me, right? I never want nobody to experience the unexpected harshness of reality, meaning you got into an accident, you lost someone, a loved one or something. Yeah, I don't want nobody to experience the things that cause you pain unexpectedly without you knowing that. All right? That's my job, because I know that imprint. Since I know that imprint is there, I'm not going to ignore that. It's just I'm giving you the cosmic smoke signal, the cosmic security color code to let you know what it is. I'm giving you the real Doppler radar effect, all right? because they only measure things off of physical, tangible evidence. I'm measuring things based off of celestial phenomenon that exists in the realm of thought before it manifests itself in the physical component. All right? So you got the high five. Be creative and start something. Physical energy is needed for you to be in your relationships and start to have goals and work and acquire them. Make an 8-month vision board. Month one, we're doing this. Two, we're doing this. Three, we're doing this. That's what's going to get you through this, working together. All right? What we at on time here? So we at the second half. We cool. We all right. We good. Y'all good? We good. Let's move on into the lessons. Let's just get straight into it. So lesson five is all about now coming down into the fifth house of your zodiac chart. Ooh, this is a sweet spot. This is the house of God. This is the house of the Creator. It's naturally ruled by Leo, so this is the sun house. This is the house that deals with children, creativity, fun, romance, gambling. They call it gambling and speculation, right? Gambling, speculation, and it's create what? See, people who are born with a cluster of energy right here in space, it's like you can be confused because you got all this divine power to create anything you want to. The general definition here is just creativity, right? So you create whatever you want to create because this is the house of the Creator himself. This is the house where children come from. You see what I'm saying? So you have to learn how to tie in the different aspects of looking at your chart to show you how to hone in on that creativity. But you literally have a lot of power to create here. All right? So let's run through the wheel because these represent your children and potentially your love life, not necessarily your marriage, your love life, how you like to have fun, your romantic potential, / your children. All right. Aries here, aggressive children, fighter children. Children need to be in some type of physical contact. Put them in martial arts for sure. They're fighters. All right. These are warriors right here. Even in the love life aspect, things are very fiery because of the Mars nature. So you love to have fun, flirt, and get it in. That's the Aries frequency, Mars right there. Now, remember, Mars, Aries, is accident-prone because of Mars. We term him as the great malefic planet of the whole solar system. That's what the priests are saying. Prime Minister Ampu says that Mars is absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, the most malefic planet of the solar system. Ancient astrology say it's Saturn and Mars, and they put Saturn first because he's bigger. But he takes so long to move. That, you know, he ain't the one that don't be bringing that fire and burning your house now. Like, Liv Mars is a burglar and accidents and injuries to your head. Saturn don't do that. He just say, hey, you don't want to do it? Okay, I'm going to force you to do it. Mars is like, yo, where he at? I just want to pop him. I don't care. Period. He got the itch. He got the DMX twitch. That's Mars, right? So accident prone with the children. Aries on the fifth, so really watch them because Mars is the ruler of your children. So very aggressive children, very fun, dynamite children. So make sure that they will not be denied in whatever it is they want to get into. All right, so see that and allow them to have that passion, allow them to go. Taurus here, your children can be rich potentially or have a strong financial IQ. They have values here. Taurus on the fifth, and you have children, teach them about, do them the wonderful thing to teach them about finances early. Teach them how to count money early. Teach them money. Teach them values. And value can be anything that you deem to be, let's just say, morals and value type of value. But also teach them monetary value, though. Don't just say it's not about the money, because you need the money. You need money to survive, all right? And if you don't, then teach them something of value where they don't need money to survive. And then come back and please come to my astrology coach and show us all how to do that one. Because it can be done. There's a group of people like up in New Hampshire, they got their own dollar called the Ichita with it, like a lizard on it or something. It can be done. We can create our own little, like I got Madden on my phone, right? We can create our own little Madden dollars, right? And we can call it conscious money. And, you know, we can trade this amongst each other and barter it amongst each other for certain. It can be done. So if you're that skilled enough, you got to be like a Coach Kyrie Torres type of dude to do something like that, right? If you got that kind of financial skill with Taurus on the fifth, teach your children about finances. It's very important because the Creator said that when I create the zodiac wheel, I'm going to make Aries the first imprint. But the first stop that you go from your personality, from the ascendant, is the second house, the second thing in the wheel, which is really the first thing after you understand who you are. Your first stop is the second house. So your first learning lesson from leaving house one is monies and values and possessions, right? So teach your children about finances. Here. Gemini here, this is the sign of siblings. Your children possibly were your brother or sister, potentially, maybe. If it's just an indicator. Your children like to talk to you. They may relate to you as a brother and sister, and this is why your children are constantly asking you the questions and not necessarily the other parent. So they're always coming to you. Mommy, can I have this? Mommy, can you be like, go ask your daddy and vice versa. Because the children see you as the one of communication because you have the constellation of communication on your in the region of space that deal with children. Your children should be writers and speakers. So it's important for you to do things like what I do with my daughter is, okay, time for the spelling bee, and I make her go stand on the other side of the room, and she has to act like she's in the spelling bee, right? So you, the key here is to get them to express themselves in communication, writing sentences, writing and speaking. Develop that skill for them, all right? That's where the focus is. And really, and two, man, let me say this since I'm dealing with this, because I'm really, this is Minister Julian. I'm really, get with that. If you love your children and you want to understand the psychology of your children, get a children's reading done. This dude is a genius. I know of two cases. Well, the first case was about a year ago, a woman stopped taking her son to see a professional psychologist because she got an astrology reading about her son for June. And two, and Keisha will tell you, her friend out in Denver, her son used to have seizures, and June looked at his chart and prescribed a certain meditation of sitting still at certain times because he saw the planet that was kind of producing this wave of energy when the sporadic activity would happen, and that little boy ain't even had no more seizures since then. If you love your children and have get yourself a children's reading by the prime minister, all right? So Gemini here deals with teaching, speaking, and developing the writing skills of your children, anything dealing with communications, all right? Cancer here, this is interesting. Your children could have been your mama, in a sense, if we want to get it to a parental aspect of it. Very loving and nurturing for your children. You're just always in love with your children, hugging them, and very protective, and just very protective of the children right here. I will also say give them a dose of family lineage history. And if you're into maybe ancestral worship in the sense of the ancestors of family that's on your line, introduce them to that because that child will be the one that can actually maintain the family tree. That's Cancer on the fifth house, right? Moving on to Leo, this is a natural here. This, your children are all about fun, creativity, romantic children, very charming children. Leo on the fifth, this is a natural wheel, especially if you have planets in this particular house. Put your children on the world stage. This is about the dramatic arts, something where they gain attention from because they're not afraid. They're not afraid here. This is naturally ruled by the sun, and everybody sees and feels the sun. All right? So this is the God force right here in double effect. All right? So you allow, because you're going to, Leo here, you're going to cultivate the child to be the leader. Your children, particularly your first child, the firstborn, that child is definitely probably going to be a leader in some type of capacity. All right? Moving on to Virgo here. It's about communication here. But I want you to pay attention to your children's health. All right, make sure that they're healthy. Everything is on the up and up, right here. And writing is another key thing here. Virgo is excellent with writing, and Virgo also has this musical talent as well. So your children may be interested in music. All right, it's dealing with something of expressing the mind. And everything is an expression of the mind, but this is more so like I said, a writer, an editor, secretary, paying attention to the fine detail type of thing. You want to hone in on that child and make sure that child is paying attention to details of things, the finer things. All right, and these children also. I would involve these children in teaching them some form of charity early, giving to other people, involving them inside of that. I have a little kind of close to that for me. And there's an old man that was born on July 4th, older guy named John. He's from Sirius, man, because he born on July 4th and he's homeless. So I had the children go down there and give him some food and whatnot. And I stand way back and I let them go. And they be, my son be like, go, mama, you go. My daughter got to go and take it, and vice versa. You know what I mean? But teaching them some form of charity is very good, of showing them how to participate in service and people that's in need if you got Virgo on the 5th. All right? Pay attention to your love life, to you, too detail-orientated in your love life. Sometimes the Virgo frequency is study long, study wrong, all right? So don't be over-analytical in your analysis, all right? Moving on to where we at, Libra here. I like this combination. Your children are, shooey, man, you're going to have a child that is all about relationships and love, man. This actually gives me clarity on the situation in my life here. It's going to be all about, man, just love, and children want to have fun. But most importantly, what's very important at this particular mark is how your children view you inside of a relationship. Ooh-wee. This is very, very important. Your child's paying attention anyway, but they're really paying attention when you got Libra on the 5th. And then don't let you have a Libra, but they're definitely going to be on. All right, so paying attention to your relationships with your children. This is your one-on-one relationships with your children. Could have been in a relationship with your child in a sense, maybe. But definitely you're prepping them for relationships and how they need to go out and build just successful close friendships and partnerships across the board here. All right, I like this placement a lot. Scorpio on the 5th, very powerful children who may deal with some form of metaphysics, deep children, psychology, may be interested in forensics, in some form of a deep investigation that gets to the bottom line. Occult children. These are children that deal with, you know, if you got Scorpio on the 5th, I got a little placement there. Your children are coming. These are children of magicians. All right? That's what that is. These are children of magicians right here. And which also means on the other side of the coin is you have to watch your children, making sure that the dark aspect of Scorpio doesn't kick in. It's like the dark aspect of any sign, right? So it's just all about teaching them your children are loyal, teaching them what loyalty is all about, and getting them to learn how to share with one another is very, very important. Sharing things, sharing what's perceived to be possessions. All right, no, this is mine. No, this is mine. Getting them to share some things, and then also if you have more than one child, because Scorpio represents the coming together of two, or one or more thing, or two or more things, right, or people in this particular case. Try to invest in some type of joint business venture, because that's Scorpio. Have your children inside of some joint business venture together as children. Very important here if you got Scorpio on the 5th. All right. If you got Scorpio on the 5th too, I want you to watch your children. around. You got to be extremely careful who you allow to babysit your children. Because remember, Scorpio is a sign of sex. Even with Leo, because Leo is a sign of children too. So any afflictions that go on with Scorpio-Leo constellation on the fifth house is really talking about how these afflictions can actually hurt your children. In this particular case, it would be sexual injury to your children. All right? Sag on the fifth, you got bright children. Your children are here to learn, expand their consciousness, travel the world, and be college professors. Make sure that you put them on a path to higher education. And that don't necessarily mean they go off to an accredited university, but it does represent that this person has a vast amount of knowledge and wisdom as if they were in some type of university, and they come back and they share that to the world. This is a very high sign here. This is just it's your mental apparatus at its absolute maximum potential over here. All right? They can study law. They can study religions and different philosophies. Sagittarius is just a very versatile thing. Sometimes even Sagittarius can show you the mindset of judges inside of a court system because it has an element of law there. Sagittarius is very versatile, very, very, very versatile. I want to back up to the Virgo on the fifth. You may have children that are healers and doctors, and the same thing with Scorpio. Scorpio and Virgo energy to me are perhaps easily the most profound healing sign. So you have some doctors in your family here. All right. Moving on to Capricorn on the fifth. Hey, these are old children. One of them act like your daddy or your grandpa or grandma or something like that. Nevertheless, they may develop later in life because Saturn Capricorn energy is something that takes its time climbing the mountaintop, and they just develop late in life. But they have the fortitude to undergo any test, and they're going to be successful in the long run. It may be a slow process, so you're going to have to exercise a great deal of patience here. Naturally ruled by Saturn, your children are here to teach you the ultimate life lesson here, but they will be successful once you hone in on their career abilities, all right? You are here to give them the structure and form. Just don't limit them. Allow them to be who they are, because sometimes a negative Saturn influence can represent restriction and you're not giving them the freedom that is necessary. Because remember, Saturn also rules Aquarius. Aquarius is freedom, right? But even though we got Capricorn here, it's still ruled by a planet that co-rules another zodiac sign, so we have to implement both of these elements here. All right, but successful children, just take your time with them, all right? Moving on to Aquarius here. Ingenious children, man. These children are astrologers. These children are inventors. They love science. They are weirdos. They're very strange. Very, very, very strange. They're different, for sure. These are unorthodox people. Let them think outside of the box if they have an interest in science. Be active with the science projects with them and allow them to explore that. Cultivate that particular part of them to allow them to branch off into the deepness and darkness of space. All right? And it's very similar to a Scorpio effect. Scorpio and Aquarius have something in common. They're both fixed signs. One comes in the middle of the winter, and the other one comes at the middle of the middle of the fall. All right? So there's a similar expression of energy here. All right? So, they stargazers. They're thinking outside of the box. If you are implementing that Saturn principle that I just talked about where you're limiting them, then they will rebel because Uranus Aquarius will rebel. They'll rebel and they'll run away. These are some children that are potentially unpredictable because Aquarius is an unpredictable sign. All right, but nevertheless, it is a genius and they can be involved with, they value friends. I'm allowing them to spend time with friends. And just being involved in group settings. So I will cultivate that too, allowing them to be active in group settings, all right? But sometimes Aquarius can be withdrawn. It's highly individualistic. And if it's that Aquarian, that's the mad scientist Aquarian, all right? And you got to cultivate that particular skill. Last but not least is Pisces, very spiritual children, but your children here could be it could be drug and alcohol children, and you got to watch that.
You got to watch it. You're probably going to have the children. Those will be the Pisces and Scorpio children, on far as on your fifth. Those are the ones that got the secrets. All right. Pisces aspect is a little, it's an illusion. They'll pump fake you and give you a story. You can't see them clearly. And they smoking bud with the fan pointing out the window or something in the room. You know what I mean? But the hot side is you got what they call the indigo or the crystal children here. This is highly, highly intuitive right here. Indulging your children into some type of spiritual practice. Allow them to sit down and meditate, or if they're into the religion aspect, same thing with Sagittarius. If they're into the Sag and Piscean frequency, they have to have an emphasis on God. Not that all the other signs don't, but these two really need to understand that very, very, very early. All right. And along with Virgo, Piscean frequency to me is very musical and very inspirational. It's a poetic thing here, all right? But your children may lie to you. So you want to see them, not my baby, no, my baby wouldn't never do that. Oh, no, yeah, you better look again, because if you got Pisces on the fifth, your baby know that and is using that on you potentially, all right? So keep them away from drugs and alcohol. If that's if you don't prefer that for them, watch that for them. All right, and your children to a degree got this element of hidden enemies to them. Either they will experience that, or they would be kind of feel like a hit. They your enemy, vice versa when they grow up or whatever. It's something that you can't see clear, but on the highest aspect, you can train these children to become very intuitive and psychic mediums where they don't have to look at charts and things like that, all right, dreamers and whatnot, and have these children journal their dreams and their spiritual experiences early, all right? So that is the wheel of the fifth house, the house of God, creativity, how you tap into it with those frequencies right there. And again, it do represent your love life too. So you just take those same definitions and you can apply it into your love life. Your romantic life can be spiritual, right? Or deceptive if you're dealing with the Piscean thing. Everything I named, just apply it from the children aspect to the romantic aspect. If you were born with Jupiter here in the fifth, or Venus here, or Sag here on the fifth, you may hit the lottery, because the fifth house is the house of lottery, and you want to pay attention to where Jupiter is positioned at in the sky, because at the right time, or even Venus, at the right time, there's a sudden influx of money, and you got the lucky God hand to win at the casino. All right? So if you have any questions, call in. I'll take some questions. I'm not doing readings. That's on Friday. However, if you know your specs, meaning you got it in your chart and you know how to articulate it to me, I can answer the question. I just don't have time to put it in the astral count and look at it. That's not what I do on this particular show. All right? So if you have any questions, press 1, and I'll go to the first caller from the 256-473. You're on the air. You there? 256-473? Nope. I'll come back to you. Let me move it on down. Call up from the 843-240. What's happening? I'm starting to think maybe can't nobody hear me. 843-240, you there? Nope. All right. I'll come back to you as well. 248-979, you there?
What's going on, man? It's Rich Black. What's going on?
Rich Black, what it do?
How you doing, brother? Happy New Year, if I don't talk to you after this.
Oh, man, for sure, man. And Happy New Year to you, too, as well, man. What's good with you?
Yeah, well, I was calling, you had mentioned where the certain time frame where people got the Pluto and Libra.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was born, what? November 19th, 1979, I definitely look, you know, my birth chart definitely got Pluto in Libra, but I think it's in the house of Sagittarius. I think that's the ninth house.
Right, that would be the ninth house, right.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sagittarius, you know, that deals with the traveling and education, and,
right.
And I know you said Pluto is kind of like a violent planet. And I am in school. I'm in, like, my fourth year, and it's just interesting because I was supposed to like have a date yesterday, and she's a Libra, and she kind of told me, well, I'm going to come by and visit and everything, but someone drops the ball, like, you know, she ended up doing something else, and she didn't come by, and I heard you say that this morning, and she called me, and I was like, honey, I told her, I said, I look at things astrologically. You know, I said something bigger than, you know, as far as in the heavens, you know, the planets, and there's all kind of situations going on, I think, and I want to say thank you because I looked at the situation on an astrology level, you know. You know, to say that we do things sometimes where we acting on the energy that's coming from the heavens. You know, there's a lot of things going on where we don't know, understand why they're happening, but they're coming just like you say. Everything you're saying is manifesting just how you've been doing it since day one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it. Just, you know me, I sit in the background and listen. So.
I definitely appreciate it, man. And you got the school thing going, so you about to have a tremendous drive to get it done. So you can really expect an increase of energy right there. And those of you who got it in the third and ninth, my main concern with y'all is, like I told people in the network, and everybody should make a habit of this anyway, travel with some form of prayer, some type of talisman, some type of a reminder, or put a Bible in your car, whatever your spiritual text is, a reference, put that in your car. And then if you know exactly where to go to have it open at, where it talks about the protection, or if it's a certain psalm or whatever the case may be, what my man Gunplay say from MMG, I got my Bible on the dash. And why you think he beat that murder case? I'm going to get in on him because I know what he also did because I was paying attention to the necklaces that he took off, but that's a whole other spot for hiphopastrology.com. But, you know, you got to put your spiritual items with you in your mode of travel. It's very important.
Hey, and Pooh, I knew it was one more thing before I let you go that I want. I know your new administrator dude got the Hip Hop Astrology. Could you please, if you get time, or Minister Jew, get into, if you can, that whole Gucci Man situation?
Okay. I'm not familiar with it, though.
I mean, the brother, he was kicked off of Atlantic Records. He facing a possible 20-year sentence for a federal gun charge, and they just put it out on TMZ today that somebody was trying to rape him down in DeKalb County Jail, and he didn't kill the man. That's like an hour ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I know that y'all got the hip-hop astrology, and there's something deeper going on with him because this man, you're talking about a millionaire. How does somebody have millions, you know, even though you're a rapper, you're in the streets, but it got to be something astrological with that, just to go from being a millionaire to go killing somebody in jail. So that's just what the street's talking right now.
Right. Okay. Yeah, man, I know the prime minister listening. So, we definitely do it.
Okay, and I appreciate you. Talk to you later.
Yeah, appreciate you as well, man. We need that news. Who we got up? Caller from the 650-384. You there?
Peace. Yes, how
hey,
you doing?
Peace. I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm fine. I wanted to know, does my fifth house in Aries have anything to do with my irritation of kids?
Yeah, and absolutely.
Man. But I have a 1-year-old, and I'm just trying to figure out what a trip to Vipassana, which is a meditation temple, would another trip there possibly, I don't know, help me to kind of like calm myself, because I love my baby, but I don't know, sometimes I just be feeling like smothered and trapped.
Yeah. All right, man, it's funny, but it ain't funny, though. I get it.
I told baby.
Man, I could not. Anything, because I'm not looking at it, so anything that you feel that will offer you peace, do that. But again, see, remember, Aries, I said, is impatient. It jumps in head first and it wants to fight, and it's agitating. With Mars ruling there, we got to be real careful because Mars turns into violence. And I'm not saying you fit this syndrome, but I'm saying that's a classic shaking baby theme right there with Mars as the ruler of the children type of thing. So you gotta work, and Mars is out of pocket in the sky. So you have to work with whatever's gonna bring you some value. The other side of that, if you got any friends, the 11th house, if you have any friends that can help you out, you need probably need a strong social network type of thing that can help you out. Seek that out. And one tool that we can all use that I've learned that's been very effective for me, that a rabbi gave me, is take the time out, no matter what your issue is, and dedicate at least 10 consistent minutes straight on praying about that particular issue. And it really does, because what you're doing is you're bringing the creator influence inside of you, but at the same time it's already inside of you, and you're making a connection to the God force. And you're doing this for 10 straight minutes a day. So pray for patience and pray for peace and the things that you need to work on consistently. Don't let the Mars ego act, because Mars is ego where it destroys. And don't let that part, that's the real ego. It ain't Leo, it's really Mars and Aries. Don't let that part of it get you. You know, use that drive to say, you know what, let me dedicate 10 consistent minutes. First thing out the day, for the baby wake up, let me dedicate 10 consistent minutes straight that I may have, in Islam call it sabr, that I may have patience. And consciously being aware that that's what you need to be working on, then the minute, because once you do that, the minute that something triggers that, the way you respond to that, you're going to have a thought that says, you know, I'm testing you, or how you going to react to this. And then it's a split second of a thought that we have, and then your expression comes from that point on however you choose to express yourself. But my point being, since you conscientiously went ahead and programmed yourself with the prayer by recognizing, let's just say, your challenge in the morning, right, for 10 minutes a day, now when, let's just call it, the evil inclination kicks in or that opportunity comes to test you, you're going to remember how you're supposed to act, and then you just got to have a little bit more fortitude at that point to say, let me respond a little bit differently. And then in the moment that you feel that you responded wrong, it's okay, because guess what? It's a journey. It's a process. But immediately, if you feel that you responded the wrong way, immediately go seek the help of the Creator again. Go pray for that in the forgiveness aspect. But we can't get caught up in the aspect of saying that I can do wrong and just go pray and repent. The sages say that you never even had a chance from the get-go. We ain't no fools. The Creator ain't no fool. It's about you making the internal sincere movements in from your heart to improve these particular areas for yourself. So even if you respond wrong, don't trip. Just immediately go seek the prayer for that. But if you feel you need to go to a spiritual place to give you the patience, do that. And then my next question is, where's his daddy at? Or you said a son. I think you said a son. But where's the father at?
He's in California.
Okay. All right. But just see if you can have somebody around to give you a little bit of help if you need the help.
That kind of, I don't know if I have time to kind of ask one more question, because I wanted to ask this one first, or, you know, ask this one anyway. But my grandmother, like, she's not really doing good in health, and I just wanted to know, like, can I look to a house in my chart or maybe in her chart and maybe see if she will possibly make the transition soon, because I feel like me going back to California, she's not, I don't know, just certain things that she says and does, it just kind of lets me know that, you know, she's at the end, sort of, kind of. And I don't want to stick around waiting for that, but then again, I don't want to take my baby away from her, knowing that my baby kind of gives her joy, and then she just kind of feels like giving up after we leave.
Right. Well, I think you should go. because one thing's promised, we all going to make a transition, right? So if the baby brings her joy, and at the same time, this actually potentially, I would think, relieves some of that pressure from you, right?
Yeah.
All right. So it's a win. It's a win-win situation right there. This gives you some relief. This gives you time to work on your patience. This gives your grandmother, the elder, joy before she goes and journey off and, you know, go back home. This becomes a win-win situation here. Because one thing you don't want to do is, I would think that you don't want to have on your conscience, why didn't I go when I had the chance?
Okay.
Right, so I would do that. Because it gives you relief and gives her joy.
Yeah, that gave me relief just to hear that. So I appreciate you, Uncle.
Yeah, you got it. And if you need us, call the number on the website, email us or whatever the case may be. But it goes to you. You know, call us if you need our help with anything. And if we got a, you know, if we got a network of people that's out there in your region, let's see if we can get somebody there to help you out or anything. But just know you got a friend with us. So if you need us, just call us. Not necessarily about giving you the reading. Sometimes you may need the ear and just the quick shot advice or the networking aspect. Do not be afraid or ashamed to call if you need it, all right?
Okay. Thank you so
and
much.
And I wrote your number down anyway. I'm going to stalk you. I got your number. All right.
Appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Peace.
All right, peace.
All right, where we at here? Caller from the 813-495. What's happening?
Peace, Ankle. How you doing?
Hey, what's happening? I'm good.
I got a question. I have three planets in Libra, and I have Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto in my ninth house. Mm-hmm. So with Mars coming through, what does that, you know, what type of things can I be looking for?
You're blessed. You're lucky. I think the third and the ninth house axis to me are more on a mental aspect, and the worst thing that can ever happen, which really ain't, shouldn't underplay it like that, but it's travel. It's your mode of travel. But it's not necessarily, you know, affecting you in some other areas like money and your love life. And even though Libra is dealing with a relationship. So I think what you've got these heavy players in the ninth, Mars is coming to excite your passion about learning and expanding your mind, you know. So even you may even within this 8-month period have an opportunity to take a trip, and you can do that. This only thing you have to do is just make sure you dot your I's and cross your T's, simply meaning like, okay, you're not neglecting something at home before you make the trip. So the trip mm-hmm. turns out to be, it was good, but when I got back, I left the sprinkler system on or something, you know, just me, or I didn't pay the bill. Or, you know what I mean? Like, make sure, because Saturn's about taking care of your business. As long as you take care of your business and you got that stellar energy up there, this is really about some type of mental growth for you and you potentially traveling is the high side of it. And maybe even starting to teach and speak as well.
Wow.
You know, So this is really a good placement, right? I like the third and the ninth because it's more of a mental thing than it is necessarily something physically in my environment. You know what I mean? So I think that's good.
That's what I've been feeling. I've been feeling that mental, like, just heavy because I actually, thank you, I got my DVDs. I met Leo.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes. So I've been on that mental. I've been, you know, trying to. I'm activating, and I'm feeling that changes. I'm feeling that transition. So, just thank you. Thank you so much for the info. You're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the support. Yeah, thank you, man. But yeah, that's where it is for you. And,
okay.
You know, get the learning. It's about higher education. It's about learning.
I'm on it. Thank you. I am on it.
That's what's up. All right, Yvette.
Thanks, Pete.
Mm-hmm. All right, look like we're going to NY347685. What's happening?
Peace. I'm Pro.
Yo, what up?
It's Farik.
Hello. What's happening?
Ain't nothing much. I was listening to what you're saying. I got Tanya chart right here. She wanted me to call in. She has Aquarius and Pisces in the fifth house. What about when it's split like that?
Well, it's only going to be one that's the ruler. But however, let's pay attention to both because that fifth house is only going to fall on one zodiac sign, right? So it's going to be Aquarius because Aquarius super comes before Pisces.
the way I would do it, I would read both. You can read both because the Piscean frequency does sit there. So then it just goes back to the science, astrology, the thinking outside of the box, having them involved with groups of people, and then also the spiritual component of the Piscean influence, having them involved in maybe poetry, but something that deals with getting them in tune with spirit. But it also represents our love life, so our love life should be centered around, maybe since it's Aquarius, our love life would be centered around what? And look at it. Some type of organization or idea and principle, because it's an air thing with Aquarius, that represent going against mainstream and serving humanity. So that's both of you would meet each other and be involved with the same type of humanitarian efforts. See what I'm saying? Well, she can now transfer that over to the children. But now she also has to periodically in her love and children life indulge in the Piscean principle, because when Pisces start, it's in the fifth as well. It's not the ruler of the fifth. However, the beginning of the constellation, so when planets get there, such as Neptune, which is early, when planets get there in that constellation, she feels a celestial shift, but it's in the same area of space where she feels that celestial shift with Aquarius. However, the vibration is different. So now she got to take all these humanitarian efforts and things like that and focus sometimes. She got to go on a trip and go to Stone Mountain and go on top of the mountain and sit there and meditate or whatever the case may be, because it's a spiritual component. But she has to induce it or introduce it into her love and children life as well. So play both of them.
Okay, okay. Now, I heard you mention, like, this house represents the type of children you're going to have. And she has, she has two, she has two boys. And one, she has he has a problem. She has a problem with him. He lies to her a lot, so, without thinking. So, and she was trying to figure out, you know, because he actually he's born on the same day as me, which is June 12th. So she was asking me, like, you know, what why do I think he constantly lies? So he pretty much gave me the answer to that. Now, is that also true? The fifth house represents what type of children you're going to have?
Yeah, yeah. If she got that Piscean influence there, again, that's why I said that I got it, man. They lie to you. Flat out.
Right.
And then, of course, it can go to the native. You know what I'm saying? Go to his individual chart where, what is he? He a Gemini?
Yeah.
So he's a Gemini. So he has a Mercury complex anyway. That's this ruling planet. So then his Mercury may be afflicted when he was born. He may have opposition to it, squares to it, and things, or Neptune doing something to it. You know what I'm saying? So he's already, you know, he's already Mercury activated anyway. But what's really happening is potentially there's some creative genius. Because that's Kanye West. That's Minister Drew. That's you. You know, the Jim, that's Pac. That's Biggie. Like this Kendrick Lamar. This Gemini frequency is a brilliant frequency. It just has to find its lane of oral and written expression. Ali Muhammad, right? Once it finds its lane of how it's going to express itself, watch out. So the key becomes, what is this little fella's lane? And once I let him go in his zone, where he's the boss of his zone, he has no reason to lie because it's his creativity that he's speaking about.
Right.
Got to find his zone.
Gotcha. All right, That's pretty much it. I mean, I'm looking at his chart. His Mercury is in Gemini.
Do he got anything in opposition to square that?
He has opposite of that is Capricorn and Sag. He has Pluto, Mars, and Chiron. So like it's in opposition.
Pluto and Mars. Gee whiz. See, Pluto goes back to the secrets type of thing.
Right. Right. He has Pluto. He has Pluto and Mars and Sag.
What degree is his Mercury?
27 degrees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's it's a very malefic area of space.
Okay.
Late Sag, I mean late Gemini is something to look at, man. Late Gemini is very something there, man. You know, it's a lot of creativity that needs to come out, man. That's what that is.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So find his lane and let him express himself, and then you know, that's the thing, you know. Because sometimes a lot could really represent. I am telling you a creative story, right? Because I want you to believe in this particular reality, or I don't want to get in trouble. And I can understand that. I know the ones that don't want to get in trouble. Like, oh nope, I didn't do that. Nope, because I don't want to get to Spain. I don't want to get in trouble. But if I'm telling you a true tale, then we got to look at the art that the person is actually constructing something. So we got to get this person into a lane of some form of communication so they can express their story. You know, write a story and sell that. Don't sell me the lot for free. Write a story. You know what I mean? And put it in a little book form. You see what I'm saying? Because, it's potential that needs to be expressed that's trying to get out. And when he does that, he see how he can control the event to get you to believe into the reality. So he's working on his magician skills at this particular point.
I'll be sure to let her know that. I'll think she's going to be pleased with it, but she, you know, I'm going to let her know.
All right, cool.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Love it.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Peace.
Peace.
All right, where we at here on the board? We're going to call her from the 707-616.
Hello, Ansel?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, this is Gabby. I'm calling to see about my planets because natally my Mars is in opposition with Uranus.
Ooh.
And I have Libra in my sixth house. And I have Pluto there too, but it's in my sixth house. But Pluto's there too, but it's in Scorpio at the end.
Okay. You said sixth house, S-I-X, right? Six?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And where's Mars at again?
Mars is in my second house.
Okay. All right. All right. So Pluto in the six.
Yeah.
Okay. Ain't nothing but that work. And put focus in on your work, your day-to-day job, where you work at or where you want to be working at. Improve your health. Definitely pay attention to your health. If there's anything you can identify that you want to deal with as far as transformation, because Mars is transformation when it rules Pluto, and Pluto's already there. I mean, when it rules Scorpio, Pluto is the ruler of Scorpio. So it's a lot of transformation in this area of health, which also denotes, too, that potentially you have a healing ability if you have other things there. But Mars at this particular time comes in to excite that area of health, man. So improving your own health. And also the high side, too, is you can do some type of thing that deals with service. Some type of charity as a good deed to warrant off what we call any impending negative judgments that can be coming your way. So if you do the charity thing to offshoot this Martian ray, then, you know, when you do a good deed, it can cancel out some of the judgments type of thing. So got to find yourself to be in some form of service and just, I call that Mars in the six, I call that wake up in the morning. And my man Reggie said it the other day, man, on his Facebook. He was like, man, got the car warming up. I just jumped rope, about to go to work and get this money. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of transit you're going to have going on. Wake up, work out, and go get it. That's what
I'm planning on, too.
Literally, you go to the gym before you go to work and make your money. Like, that's the zone that's coming in for you.
Okay, that's good to know. I think that's the only one I'm really worried about.
Okay.
Oh, I have Mercury in opposition to Pluto, though. Is that going to cause conflict as far as the thought process?
Yeah, because Mercury will be in opposition to Mars at some particular point. So your speech is going to be fiery. Just make sure you don't
argue with the people who you at work with type of thing. And then that means you got Mercury in the 12th house?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you have to be careful. Watch what you take in from people. You're born with a marker that I don't suggest that you drink and eat things from so-called spiritual people, because the 12th house is a house of secret enemies that's based off spirituality, and it's also the house of poison, and the 6th house is health, and Pluto is death, so somebody can poison you and kill you, right? That's the extreme worst, right? So don't watch what you put in your mouth. Because Mercury is the speaking apparatus, so watch what you put in your mouth from people. Communications at this particular time can heat up and flare. The good thing with Mars is anybody who disagrees with you at this particular time in your life that's going to show you that this person is really a secret enemy of yours. They just is something that is just the, it gets weird. You can't explain it. It's what Judas did to Jesus type of thing, but it'll come out in the form of some type of disagreement. So sometimes you kind of gotta flirt with it a little bit, because Mars represents show yourself, show off a little bit, get a little rambunctious and, you know, go first type of thing. But the people who oppose you verbally type of thing, and potentially even a sibling maybe, could be a hidden enemy of yours where they try to undo things. And since this energy is taking place in your 6th house, which is work, you're not in a position to say, hey, can you finish this for me? I got to clock out early, or clock me out because I got to go. No, don't do that, because people at work can undermine you at this particular time.
Okay, I definitely understand that. What about somebody who has a Mars in Capricorn but in the 12th house? Because I know that Mars is exalted in Capricorn, but in the 12th house.
They got to pray first. They got to do all spiritual things first before they're able to ground that down into some type of physical dynamic. Very artistic in a sense of maybe, because 12th house to me is a house of musical inspiration. It's a Badu-ish type of feel. It's a Piscean type of feel. They got to go upstairs first. They got to go upstairs. And then this person also could potentially have a very strong career in dealing with anything of the spiritual sciences.
Okay. Thank you, Ampu. That really was very helpful.
You got it. That's what's up. All right, you got it. Okay, please. All right, where we at here on the board? Look like we're going to the 843-240. You there?
Yes, Ampu, this is Savannah.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm calling from, I'm doing okay. I was just listening as much as I can. I have some questions. I heard you talking about twins. Well, not twins, but kids. And I have twin Capricorn, 3-year-olds. And I think the question I want to ask is, you know, you see what I'm hearing, what I'm going through. They always fight. You know, I'm hearing that that's normal with them, you know, fighting each other and stuff like that. I have one that's more aggressive than the other, so I'm just wondering what house would that fall up under?
Well, we're just dealing with the house of children. Where is if you said they're Capricorns? Where is Capricorn at in your will, in your chart? What house is that?
I'm not familiar with my chart right now.
Okay, all right. So it's hard for me to answer that, but what I can give you is this, because since they're Capricorn and Pluto is there in Capricorn, they're both going through this, or will experience a tremendous influx of power and control. And right now those two would be, it's kind of like, I guess it's what Minister Jew would call LeBron James and Dwayne Wade in the backcourt both being Capricorn. They're both going to try to exhibit control over one another. And then with this transit that I'm talking about in the sky, they're going to feel that because they're Capricorns. So they're going to feel this, you know, this square coming from Mars and the square coming over here from Uranus and whatnot. But the unique thing is Venus in the sky is there. So it seemed like the feminine energy needs to come in and put some balance into the situation.
I have to see your will. We have to see your will to an orderly, you know, in order for us to say, okay, yeah, definitely go from this angle and that angle. The blessing is Venus is there. Venus is there. And start to do something, since we're dealing with Venus in this area with them, start to do something on Friday nights. Friday night is very important anyway, but start to do something on a consistent basis. On Friday, they may deal with the art, or where you as the feminine energy come in and you set an agenda, you set a tone that has them focused in on something else. And again, Venus deals with art, so maybe if they could, you know, play with hand paint or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, that does occupy.
Set an agenda on Fridays, and you know, start working it from that angle. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see more in the chart. Minister Jude, that's his specialty. So you go over to if you go to My Astrology Coach and just click on consultations, he'll be able to look at, you know, not just your chart but their chart as well, and then how it is that, you know, then how all of y'all are related into the whole wheel of a household type of thing. But start right there on Fridays by introducing art into it to separate some things, and then maybe even a ball game type of thing where they can roll the ball, where it deals with passing back and forth, which is subconsciously showing them an element of sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's just important that the feminine energy, hence Venus, or if you're with the father still, the relationship.
Yeah.
Shows them on Fridays, particularly the relationship comes in and sets the tone. But it's very important. You know, Venus is the relationship. It's more of an emphasis on the feminine energy doing it. So that becomes mommy, because Capricorn is the zodiac sign of a parent anyway. So that becomes important for mommy to initiate that.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know Capricorn was, you said, a sign of the parent?
Yes, a sign of a parent. Right. Cancer and Capricorn represent, in astrology, it's really the houses with zodiac signs fall there, but traditionally these houses have the rulership or fall under the rulership of these two constellations.
Wow. So I know one of the twins, the oldest one, you know, she's very demanding and you know, just bossy and stuff, and, you know, especially towards me, like, I don't know if maybe I got her like that, or just that's just something, you know, her chart is, you know,
right.
That's her,
you know. Well, see, Capricorn, because Capricorn is a sign traditionally. When I put Capricorn in the fifth in this example, that's why I said this is the one to think that your granddaddy or your daddy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's that energy, because Capricorn is a sign of older people. Old age,
yeah,
you know what I'm
saying? Like, she's been here before.
So they're right. So that's the one that's gonna be like, I'm the boss around here. You tripping?
Okay, I'm definitely gonna look into, you know, speaking of
Okay, thank you. All right, where we at? 678-336. You up next? 678-544. What's happening?
Peace, Sam. Who is Bruce, man?
Bruce. Couple
you know,
Bruce.
Brother.
Bruce Butler. Bruce who?
Yep, Butler. Cool. Butler. Down here,
what's
man.
Happening, man? What's good with you?
Not too much, man. I two quick questions. My moon is in 26 degrees of Scorpio.
Okay.
And, my mother's always screaming, you know, the intensity of my anger, and I'm trying to see what I can maybe do to balance that out, you know, besides, you know, meditation and I don't know, is any ritual, any certain days, you know what I'm saying? Let me help better understand myself with that.
Monday, Gabriel. Monday, pray to the Archangel Gabriel and go stare at the tarot card. Go stare at the moon card, because the moon card has the scorpion-looking creature coming out of the water, right, as the sun, as the dog is barking at the sun in the backdrop.
Okay.
So the moon card has this hidden element of a scorpion nature to it. And the moon is said to be out of pocket right there. And one thing for you, too, since it's that late Scorpio, it means it's in direct opposition to something in Taurus called Algol, which is said to be the demon head star of Medusa. So your moon is in a very is in opposition to the most malefic star in the solar system. You have to utilize again. Just you got to utilize the power of Monday, and Archangel Gabriel, and the techniques you can use. Because it's all going to be about visualization, but the visualization starts the transformation. You can do stuff like, since it's a water thing, one of the first spiritual techniques I've seen what my man Sheikh Ahmed did is write down what you don't want. Write down what you, the qualities that you don't want, the things that you know need to go, or write it on an Alka-Seltzer, though. Write it on an Alka-Seltzer. Or if you can sum it up into words, you know, man, put it in the Alka-Seltzer and drop that bad boy into some water. Like, give it away. It's gone, right? And then you pour that into the earth, man. So you may want to dig up dig a little spot out in the earth, and when you pour that water into and cover it back up, man. So, you know, dissolve it and give it to the earth, man, so it can start to transmute itself. But at the same time, you got to know, see, and feel that these negative imprints are coming out of you and have been dissolved as through the process that you just went through.
Okay, so visualize.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then last one, I'm going back to school in January. I just wanted to know what angel deals with learning that I can maybe work with to help me. You know, it's been a minute since I've been back to school.
Anytime we dealing with the universal principle of learning, Zodiacal, which deals with the sphere of Jupiter, And pay attention on Thursdays, you know, as a special shout out to that angelic force ruling that day of higher learning.
Okay.
And even when you feel like you slip, it's very important to recognize the slip. And the slip is okay because a slip is a measurement tool of progress. So it's okay when we slip. So when you felt like you slipped and you responded in such a way you didn't necessarily, you just felt like, you know, it's harsh, just immediately just go, you know, do the repent thing on it, as far as just praying that you change that particular quality. The key is to observe yourself, man. That's the best. It's one of the funnest things to do. Like, I do it all the time now. Like, I'm observing myself. So when a situation comes, I got to watch how I respond, right?
Right.
When a wife wants to say, can we go to CVS? And I've been out all day. I don't want to go to CVS because I know she ain't going to go in there and get that one thing she's supposed to get, and she's going to come out with some other stuff, and it takes 30, 40 minutes or something. And it's like, what? You know, so what I do, yeah, we go to CVS. Let me call Jew. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Jew and kick it with him for 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Take my mind off sitting there patiently. You know what I'm saying? So when you see the opportunity, you know what I'm saying? When you see the opportunity to fix it, to respond differently. If you don't like it, man, just simply look at that opportunity and say, okay, I see what I could have did, and I'm becoming better at this, because normally I would have just went extreme, right? And then you just start making the progress that way, man. That's all.
Appreciate it,
man. And mark your moon calendar. If you got one, mark it, because there's a rhythm to it. I'm telling you, there's a rhythm to these tests. And then you would know that no, it is not going down here. It ain't going down here. I refuse to let it go down here because it's going to come back and test you in the same spots.
Yeah, I had that test on Friday, man. I was going to call you actually, personally, you know, on the side, but you just answered that for me too indirectly, so I appreciate it.
Okay, that's what's up. You got it, man.
Okay.
All right, peace. All right, where we at here? Look like we're going to a Cackalack number 336-501-44 ATL. You up next? 336. What's happening?
Hey, Peter Shampoo, how you doing?
What's up, man? What's good with you?
It's Dewan.
What's up,
Dewan? I didn't get a chance to catch the early part of the show. I got Aries in the fifth. My Mars placement is in Gemini, my seventh, but it's opposing my Neptune in the first.
Okay. That's cool. Mars and Gemini is cool because I'm just looking at the general placement of Mars in the sky over in Libra. So potentially somewhere along the line, depending on the degree, but at least by sign-wise, it's going to trine, and this would be more of an easy flow for you, and you won't have issues with Mars on Mars like that, which is cool. But where is Libra at for you?
Say that again.
Where is Libra for you? What house is that?
10th house, 10th and 11th, but it rules my 10th. Well,
okay.
No. Okay. No, it Libra rules my 11th. I got a Virgo mid-heaven, so Virgo rules my 10th.
Okay. So even if it's someone 10th, some more of the 11th, so groups of friends, and groups of people, man, if you got any technology ideas, this is the time to drop it in that particular force, man. Especially being that Mars and Gemini, so this is an easy flow to use social media or groups gathering to friends. But it's a heavy technology buzz right now. Potential fights. If you got other things that you know with the T squared that's going on with it, you may find yourself at odds with somebody that you consider a friend. But I just wanted to get that. But what was the question? Because I don't even think you asked me that, but I just want to make sure everybody understands where it's coming at from. But what was the question?
I was just asking, like, how placements would, what would be the effect of the placements, you know, being that Mars is opposing my Neptune and Sag.
Okay, well, from a NATO perspective,
yeah.
Gee whiz, man. And you got Neptune where, in the 7th?
No, Mars is in the 7th. Neptune is in my 1st.
Okay, Neptune in the 1st and Mars is in the 7th. All right. Anytime we deal with Neptune, it's really dealing with spirituality and truth. And since it's Mars and Gemini represents some form of communication. And then obviously it's in the communication with people and that who you're in relationships with. So that opposition right there denotes that you can't see someone clearly. But to me, it's also an indicator of it's an indicator of dishonesty. And Neptune being in the first house is really a personality. I'm not saying you're a dishonest person, but it just represents potential character traits that's there that you have to deal with of awakening yourself and seeing. Because the first house is really a house of vision. They say it's the first thing that we feel from a person. It gives shape to the physical characteristics of a person. So this is a heavy psychological house right here because it's the first order of the day. And to have Neptune here is just a strong emphasis on that. On another sense, too, you have to be extremely careful with drugs or illegal activity type of thing because Neptune is a planet that represents lockup, and the 7th house is a house of judges and court systems type of thing. And then Mars represents the police force itself. So it's like the police force is in the justice system is in opposition to you as a person if you choose to go down the drug route. You see what I'm saying? Or anything with legal.
I've had that experience early on in my life like that.
Right. So you got the hustler chart that I'm like, listen, what time are you going? Because it's the time you're going to have to get in, get out. You can never be a lifelong hustler without, you know, you have to be a damn good magician to get out of it. You know what I mean? Because the force is against you when you go down that road. Because on the high side, what it's telling you is you have to learn how to really indulge in relationships that help you tap into your spiritual clarity and vision with Neptune type of thing. So those two don't need to be in conflict with each other. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. Plus, I also have Saturn in my 7th also, in Gemini.
Yo.
So
never do anything illegal, not with that one. Mars and man, no, that's it. That's nah, because you know, the 7th house, Saturn is exalted in that house because he loves to be in Libra, even though the constellation ain't Libra, but the house is a Libra feel, so he loves that house. He got dominion over that. And in opposition to Neptune is like, nah. See, that's what I was saying. See, there's an element there that suggests that you was a highly spiritual person in the past life and you abused your spiritual powers.
Yeah, I definitely get that.
You either abuse your powers or you was a part of like a scandal, which would still be abuse of powers.
Because I remember reading one time where it was talking about Saturn and Gemini, or Saturn and the Seven, being the characteristic of an individual who could actually go from being a drug dealer to being a preacher.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And it's funny because that kind of is a characteristic that I'm playing out now, like from early in my life hustling
right.
to now, you know, developing, you know, the spiritual side of myself.
Right, right. Absolutely. 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 And that's not an oxymoron. They're the same energy. That's why the 12th house is the house of spirituality, but it's the house of lockup. A lot of people don't get into the spiritual aspect until they go get locked up, where they ain't got nothing but time to study some spiritual system of God and get to know themselves. See what I'm saying? That's the same thing. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, that's what it is for you, man, is to deal with the high side of the science. Most importantly, making sure you see people who you're in relationships with, because you got heavy relationship karma. Being honest with relationships and making sure people are honest with you in relationships, and then y'all can embark on a spiritual journey together so y'all can see each other clearly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate that, brother.
Man, you got it, man. That's what's up.
All right, where we at? We can go on to 414-216. You up next, and I see another 336. 404, where we at on the time? 111. 404, what's happening?
Greetings.
On what? Hey, what's happening? Greetings.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, peace. This is Wisdom. I wanted to ask you, how do you go about rectifying or making sure that the birth time that you have or you've been given is correct so that you can have the correct descendant in houses?
Yeah, it's usually an investigation that takes place. You can deal with the first child that you have, if you have one. Usually big events that happen in your life, accidents, headaches, when you got married, signs of your parents. So you just gotta start piecing a puzzle. Gotta start putting these pieces of the puzzle together. It can be done. It's a time consuming thing. I personally don't do it, but it definitely can be done. And I have some good friends who do it. So if you're interested in doing it, let me know. Just email me at nobleampu@gmail.com. And I see if they're still doing it, which I'm sure they are and whatnot. I just don't know their email address off my hand. And you can roll with them. I'll put you in contact with them and knock it out for you.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Okay.
That was
all
my
right.
only question.
Okay.
Okay, thank right. you.
Yeah, just email me. You're welcome.
Okay, I will.
All right, where we going? I think we're going up to Cleveland, 216.
Hey, Ampu, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, great, great show. Thanks for the show. I have Mars and Leo in the 12th house at 19 degree, and in the 5th house I have a Capricorn. What is the significance of that relating to the current energy?
Wait a minute, hold on. You got Mars and Leo in where? The 11th?
In the 12th house.
In the 12th?
Yes.
All right, and then which means you will have to have Aquarius on the other side, right?
Right.
Which will be on the 6th. So
right.
what you want to know about Capricorn? Either some of Capricorn share your 6th or Capricorn is on your 5th. What you want to know about?
5th. Yeah, on the 5th.
Okay. So what's the question again?
Yes. What is the significance of that placement relating to a relationship at this time, like intimate relationship?
Well, if we're looking at the Capricorn placement, if Capricorn is on the 5th, then that's love and romance, right? But Venus is about to retrograde, which means this could be an old person coming back into your life, or old person as far as you dealt with them before, or literally a older person, because it's Capricorn in this person. Either, see, this is the thing, they're either older than you or you're older than them. And we got to be careful. Listen up to this, y'all, because with Capricorn on the 5th in love life, or even on the 7th in relationships, the energy can feel like you're a parent, or they, you know, you're being a parent to them, or they feel like they're being a parent to you. You see what I'm saying? And it's really like, and it's really more like, it ain't even a mommy type of feel. It's more of a, I act like I'm this dude's daddy or something type of thing. So we got to be extremely careful and learn how we vibrate in this area. But the hot side of it is really talking about buckle down responsibility. Let's be successful in life. And that's what it's talking about. So it has this daddy type of feel to it. So, you know, with the Capricorn placement there, it represents Venus retrograde, somebody coming into your life back from the past type of thing. Yeah, and then natal Mars in the 12th in Leo, I mean, you know, you just, when it comes to men, you have to watch it. They could slip you a Mickey type of thing. But men, there's something about the element of men where you may play into the fantasy of it feels good, and they come, especially if they're talking that Leo romantic type of stuff. It's kind of, you can go down that road, and you're not seeing them for what it is, what it's really worth, because the 12th house has that element to it. But on the high side, when that force is activated, it is really supposed to represent a dynamic, love, romantic, fun union that has spiritual pursuits. Because of the 12th house, don't deal with nothing physical. It's all about how you get in tune with intuition and an inner God calling that each and every one of us have. And that's the 12th house. So,
yeah. It's interesting because this guy that I'm dating, I've been dating him since, I mean, for 90 days now, because I do keep a calendar, and I just have decided that he's a Scorpio, and I am a Virgo, and I like my space. I've been out of a relationship for 8 years, and I like it. I like my space, but I do like to spend time with him as well, but at the same time, I just like my space. I like my quiet time, you know. And he is too aggressive. He's too controlling. I don't. And when he doesn't get his way, as far as if I don't agree with something, he understands our take and has his knowledge. If I don't agree with his knowledge and he cannot change my mind to agree with him, he gets angry. He gets angry and upset. And those are the times when I really want to just get away and just be in my own space. And he explodes, you know. So now from listening to you, I'm realizing that it's that Mars aspect, because he's a Capricorn. I mean, excuse me, he's a Scorpio, and Mars rule Scorpio. So, you know, I just decided that, you know what, I need some space. And then he's telling me that I better watch out because he might set his sister on me. And I'm like, you're going to set your sister on me? You're going to have your sister to meet up with me, because I don't want to be bothered at this point. But now I was actually just going to take some time to assess, you know, whether or not I want to pursue, you know, continue dating this guy or even a more serious relationship with him. And when he started telling me that, okay, I'm going to have my sister, you know, so that really makes me see also an element of immaturity with this 49-year-old guy. And not only that, that the immaturity there is the fact that he cannot understand, or he does not understand diversity. I'm from a different culture, and, you know, he wants to change me, and I don't want to be changed. I just want to continue to grow and evolve in a positive change. But the way that he wants to, he makes me feel like I would be going backwards if I go along with him and his path. So when I decided after, you know, I pulled my calendar out and I showed it to him, I said, listen, it's only been 90 days, and you're making me think that I really do not want to continue dating you because, you know, these are the things. I do keep a journal, and, you know, and I just wanted to show him that I'm a real person. I like to know, you know, what it is I'm dealing with and where it's going and, you know, mm-hmm. what's the creation that is taking place. And he gets right. highly upset. Like, he started stomping the floor like a toddler. And I'm like, this is crazy. So, I mean, could this be the type of energy that is, I mean, could it just be him? I mean, because at this point, I don't really think I want to go any further with you know, dating this guy.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot. I'm gonna tell you. A few things here. Remember, like I said, from now, well, from November the 20th up to like from 12/21, we get a period in our life where we see where we need to go back and where we need to make the adjustments from in relationships by understanding the rotation of Venus. And what's really technically happening, y'all, is if we could just dim the lights and we can see in front of the sun, the planet Venus is right there in front of the sun. And Venus is actually passing in between the Earth and the Sun, and the Earth looks like it is going backwards. So therefore, since this cosmic wind tunnel is being produced, then this is how we know we need to go back in and review our relationships. So everybody's in the zone to review relationships right now because Venus is in the shadow, about to go retrograde. So for you, it's actually in the area space that deal with love and romance. Now, you have to look at what you said. You said you have the 90-day mark. 90 days represents the first internal challenge that you're going to have. You probably got a glimpse of this at day 45. But at day 90, this is the square. This is the first internal challenge that you're going to have that come and test you and say, hey, I'm just giving you some insight if you want to continue or not, because I promise you in 90 more days there's going to be a conflict if you don't handle it correctly at the 90-day marker. You see what I'm saying?
And you
then
know
him
what?
Being at
At 45 days, yes, I saw something there because I journaled, and I did. But, you know, I thought, okay, I need to give, you know, this brother a chance. I didn't want to feel like, you know, I didn't want to feel like, okay, I'm not giving someone a chance, especially since this emphasis is on, you know, sisters need to be, you know, dating brothers and not dating out of their race or whatever that is. But anyway, I really wanted to really be patient with the brother and try to help the brother, not change the brother. Then the brother said, the brother said, the way you talk to me is, you make me feel like you're nagging me. And I said, no, I'm really showing you some things that will help you, you know, that if you really pay attention and look at it, you'll see that I'm trying to help you to be a better man. And then he, you know, I said, really, I'm trying to help you to be a better man. Yeah. But he said, well, it feels like you're picking on me. I said, no, you are the one that, you know, really take it on to feel like I'm picking on you, but I'm really not. I said, don't you realize how I express it to you? It's not in a degrading manner, disdaining you in any way. It's in the manner that if you would take a look at yourself, you'll see that I'm trying to help you to be a better man. But then he said, okay.
I got you. Hold on.
And then he
regrets. I got you. I feel it. And I see this is a whole lot. Not to cut you off. I feel it. You got to use these three gauges. And let me take this next call. I'm going to take a few more and I'm going to get out of here.
Okay,
you got to use these three gauges. I'm going to give you. You know where you at, but the one gauge is you got to look at the timeline that shows these rhythms, which is there, and that's okay. When these hiccups happen, we have to learn
how to navigate within these rhythms is the key here. They're supposed to be there. But I think the real gauge is you have to ask yourself the question of, do I want to marry this person?
No,
yeah, that's the ultimate test. All right. So see, that's the ultimate commitment. See, we're going from the fifth house to, because we're talking about love and romance today, because the fifth house, we're on lesson five. But Mars is in Libra, the sign of marriage, contractual agreement. When you say, I don't want to just play in the realm of romance and fun no more. I want us to come together so we can get ready to keep evolving up the wheel so
right.
we can do the marry thing. And then the house number eight, we start sharing the joint finances and working on goals together. And number nine, we travel the world together. And number 10, we have this divine career that, you know, where this shows us all of our success.
Right.
So if we're not really, if we want to just keep it in house five and just have fun, and this is the fun booty call romantic encounter, that's okay. Just be honest with you. And I'm not talking to you. Everybody,
right,
just be honest with yourself on what it is with house number five, because house number five and seven ain't the same, but we can get them mixed up because we're sharing and we having sex and we're in a relationship type of thing. It's romantic and we're kissing. It's all that stuff that happens inside of a marriage. See, this is why we're going to do a show on this. This is why the ancients was like, listen, if you ain't about to marry my daughter, you ain't touching her.
Right.
Ain't participating in nothing else, because everything else is just what we would call foolery. And the F word, we would just call it uckery. You know, I didn't
right.
say it, uckery. I'm not cursing. See, I've been doing good.
Right,
uckery, right?
right?
So
right.
if you don't want to marry the person, and on top
mm-hmm.
of your timeline, then that gives you the answer, and only you can say, you know what, let me just keep it in house number five. Let me keep it in the fun zone for now. But let me take those calls. Let me take these
real quick. One
callers,
more question. What was it?
Uh-huh.
What was it? The previous caller. You told him to write down what he doesn't want and put it in
yeah.
something. I
yeah,
missed
that. Yeah, put it on. I told him to put it on the Alka-Seltzer and drop it in water and let it
okay.
dissolve and pour the water into, dig out a little spot on the earth and grass and pour it in there and cover
okay.
it up to dissolve it. Yeah, that's what I told you.
Got you.
All right.
Thank you, Ampu.
Yeah, you're very welcome. You got it.
Appreciate you.
Uh-huh. All right, where we at here? I'll take a few more. 916-955-704, you up next. What's happening?
Hey, what up, Ampu?
What's good?
Oh, man.
What's good with you, man?
Shoot, been trying to get a hold of you, man, and, you know, to top it up. Didn't have my hand raised, but, you know, because I, you know, I always listen, and the other night you had a show on about Abraham. You mind
right.
if I ask you a question?
Yeah,
okay, because I ran into the Oracle of the Kabbalah, and they're listing a missing letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if have you heard of that and what the gist of it, because it actually mentions it in the forget the name that you were using. Let me get it real quick. You know, just the story of what is relayed. To in the Hebrew context, the name is the name that you were using the other night, Ampu. Help me out. The Zohar. The Zohar. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And how it describes in the Zohar about the missing letter, of course, is 22, the 23rd one. It describes the Shin as the letter of the fathers. The three prongs on the Shin and the Tefillin, like Psi, represents the three fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The four
mm-hmm.
prong, which they're, you know, pretty much saying that that's what the missing sign looks like, has four prongs on the Shin, on the Tefillin's left side, symbolize the four mothers, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. Okay,
mm-hmm.
in the future, when the missing letter, the letter of the left side is revealed, the world will be in balance once again. Then the letter of the mothers lost for so long will combine with all the other letters to create a universe of harmony and peace. So what's your take on that? Just as in, you know, it's a missing letter, and the Zohar mentions it, and, you know, in the sound along with it.
Well, I think that's interesting. I have to really ponder on those names as mentioned. But it's interesting because, you know, that's the book that I have coming out is called The 42 Name of God, The Missing Mother, because there's a letter, one of the mother letters is missing out of the famous Annabelle Core prayer that y'all know as the miracle prayer. It specifically, the priest specifically didn't put one of the letters in there. It's three letters that's not in there, but one of them in particular is the mother letter. Because it's three mother letters, right? And one of them, the mother of the mothers, is not there. Because, you know, the three letters that we have currently in Hebrew, fire, air, and water, Aleph, Mem, and Shin, right? We're missing in the prayer, we're missing the letter Mem. So we're missing in astrology, air and fire are considered masculine. Although I know why we call them mother letters, because they're letters that represent elements. So the element is the mother of all creation. It's in its elemental makeup, hence we go to elementary school. So everything has an element. That's why we call them the mother letters, because the element is the mother to everything in creation. But when we look at the dynamics of air and fire, although it is a mother letter, its expression is masculine, whereas water is feminine, but that's the one letter that's not in the prayer. So it reminds me of what I'm working on. You're giving me the confirmation on that. But I agree, because remember, really what we're saying is for a letter to be missing out of the 22, obviously there's no letter that corresponds to the earth element. We got the seven. We got the seven letters that correspond to the seven
planets, there it goes.
Which goes to the 7 days of the week. We got all 12 letters that correspond to the zodiac sign. We got a letter for fire. We got a letter for air. We got a letter for water. We have no letter for earth. Where is it? I always took the position that you're on earth. It's not that you can't create a letter and make it merge, but your physical activity to bring the kingdom on earth, because this is Malkuth, the kingdom, you have to rebuild the temple, whatever that may look like to you, right? You have to rebuild the temple, which I really think that it is really talking about a physical place, and I'm going to tell you where it is. It's in Nuari. It's in Detroit. It's in understanding the Detroit Lions, which is the Leo constellation, and then understanding that when you look at Judah, it's the largest tribe of portions in the book of Numbers. All right, right. That talks about this encampment that comes back at a certain day and time. Once you go to Detroit and set up the that's really, see, when Polite is talking about new covenant, he's right. There's a new covenant that's coming, but it's not yet grounded yet in totality.
Yeah, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Let me interject because, yeah, okay, because it actually, in the application of it, it does mention the Mem, but in regards to the Messiah, though, okay? So, and I mentioned the three fathers, but I mentioned four mothers. So, and it's kind of unbalanced right there, because the match is not made with Leah, although Leah and Rebecca, you know, mother of the, for the same guy.
Right.
Married to the same guy, whatnot. Okay, but... the thing is that, I just lost my thought, but everything you're saying, you know, as in equaling the earth. So if it's a masculine that's missing, though, and they always refer to earth as mother, you see, wouldn't that set it, you know, off balance still, as in, you know, not enough fathers, you know, to equal with the mothers? You know, this is just the perception, you know. It's just
Okay,
you got me. Okay,
I've
been feeling that you've been, you know, I've been wanting to, you know, chop it up with you with this, and, you know, that confirmation you just said, okay, so that's why I was trying to get in touch with you. So everything's lining up.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. Yeah, inbox me, though, because I like to take my time with that, you know what I mean?
Okay, okay, yeah, because I ran across this little book and stuff, and, yeah, it's real powerful, and it speaks on, you know, just the characters, everything you chop up with, and, man, it's just, you're just so on point, you know, ain't even no words and stuff, so. You're me and I'm you.
Right,
right. I'm out here in Cali, man. Detroit. You mentioned Detroit, though. I've been out there, and I was at this place called Ypsilanti, though, if you're familiar with it. It's right outside Detroit. Them cats out there, they're like, it's like home, just in the way they are. And you know what I mean? It's just like...
Right.
They help you set up and stuff. When I went out there, it was like a second home. I had probably no one, and it's just,
right.
And I went to this community college called Washtenaw, and once I started hearing about the Washtenaws and everything that was going on, what's been going on, what's happening, you know, just line up where I hit the right places. I was at the right, you know, places at the right time to learn certain things and stuff. So. It's cool that you just mentioned Detroit. So, yeah, I can understand that. Okay, real quick, because I heard you dropping science on the cities and stuff. I'm in Sacramento, man. What's the science? Not to get off top.
I have to look, man, and I realize the method that I'm doing and how to tap into that is not something that should just be given lightly
I
give it to you, but inbox me, and then, you know, I can let you know what it is, you know what I mean? Because
what's the address again?
You know what I'm saying? NobleAmpu@gmail.
A-N-S-N-O-P-U.
NobleAmpu@gmail, man. Just inbox me on the phone, man. And I know who you are from Cali anyway, but, yeah, and I bust it up with you, you know?
Okay, cool. It's Hyl, H-Y-L, that you'll receive from there. All right.
Okay, cool. That's what's up.
All right. Good luck.
Okay,
peace. Peace.
All right, man. I'm going to take a few more, and I got to go. 704-609.
Cool.
Yeah? Yo, what's happening?
You hear me?
I caught you shaving. Sunday morning shaving.
Yeah, you know it. Got a multitask. Got to get it done.
Yeah, it was good.
Ain't nothing. Listening on the show the other day where Jew was breaking down Paul Walker's death, and he brought up the fact that the guy Paul Walker had a Pluto conjunct Mercury, and
right.
How he died and whatnot, right, with the car accident. So I got that same mark of 9 degrees Libra. I was also born with Mars in the first house squaring, but Mars is like 0 degrees Cancer, and then that Pluto and Mercury 9 degrees. Libra, it's a Y square, but also you already know where Pluto in the sky is right now, where Uranus
right.
is in the sky right now. So I got Mars coming around about to start conjuncting that Pluto and Mercury natally. So I was like, okay, shit, maybe this can help somebody else out. Let me call in. I hit you on the email.
Hey.
So I was like,
hey,
put it out.
He on NBA
happens.
Jams. That's that NBA Jam. He's on fire. Jeez. Hey, that's a lot, man. What's the houses involved, though? Let's look at these four houses.
My natal, what's it? Mercury and Pluto is in the
first. Okay.
Mars is in the first. My natal Mars is in the first. So we got Pluto in my seventh and Uranus in my 11th.
So 1, 5, 7, and 11.
Right.
That's how this is rolling. 1, 5, 7, and 11. One personality. In opposition to 7, relationships. 5 is love, relationships, and children. 11 is groups of people and friends. I would think the primary important part would be if you're in a relationship and your children. Those two areas right there is where it's at right there. And, because today, see, Mars is at 0 now, so you're experiencing the Mars square Mars exactly to the T right now. Especially since it's in Libra. Mars in the sky, well, because you got these planets in these other places, but Mars is definitely being the instigator right now.
as usual. And then you got a theme on the seventh house cusp that's being active as well. So therefore, it's a double relationship theme, right? Because Mars and Libra and then whatever you got on in the seventh is being triggered by this thing as well. So you got a cardinal pyramid, a cardinal cross going that tells you to focus in on relationships, focus in on your love and your children and your friends and groups of people and who you are as a person, being true to yourself, and how are you going to go forward and use all of this dynamic energy, because something must change in these areas. If you can understand what needs to change and what needs to be kicked up an octave and whatnot, so you can give it that Martian juice, that dynamic fire energy to get the ball started, then you just go forward in these particular areas and whatnot. So any stagnation of old stuff, you know, if it's old and it's outdated, it's just going to demand that you change it right now. You know what I mean? The more you resist, the more potential conflict comes out of it. It's fast, not just conflict with other people, but these are very accidental prone energies. The accident itself can be the initial shock to get you to come into, you know, to come in. And now you look, you know, it's Kanye West getting an accident, and now he's spitting it through the wire, and now he becomes a beautiful butterfly out of an accident, you know what I'm saying, just to get him to that point. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to look at things you have to relinquish and let go, if there are any, you know what I mean? If you've already been doing it, then it's just saying put the final touches on it because a new beginning is coming, you know? So I get the general question, but I really want to ask you just for education purposes for the audience is, are you in a relationship? And if you are in one, has it had any pressure that denotes that it needs to be redefined?
Yeah, I'm in a relationship, but this is what caused it to be questioned, to be redefined. My lady is an Aquarius. I met another Aquarius that kind of, she just stands out. And like I said, I'm in a situation, you know, and it's cool, but then something else comes along that's twice as brilliant. It's, yeah. So the answer to your question is yes.
Yeah. So yeah, man. Well,
enough
with that. Yeah, I understand. I've definitely been there on that. I don't know, man. I think that. See, are you married?
No, not married. Not yet.
Right. So sometimes, man. You know, you're free to move about the country, is what I say. There's no contractual agreement, right? But of course, when we're in relationships are relationships, and there's a, you know, agreements there. But you got to use that same scale. Where are you really going at with this? Because that Martian and Libra energy together, and then your seventh house being activated, is ultimately really putting a demand on you for you to create some form of a commitment type of thing here. But now, I don't know where Aquarius sits at for you and whatnot, but. You know, the ninth? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, so they're getting you with the higher learning and the mind thing. Their mind sexing you. It's getting you. That got you going. But, you know, again, I just know the pressure is demanding that you make some decisions and so you can move forward. And don't get caught up into the cardinal cross, because it'll start coming from every and which angle. Cross you from the right side and from the left side. And then from behind you if it's a conjunction, right? So it's going to hit you from every angle possible, man.
Would you stay off the roads because of this, because of Mars coming around?
Well, it's dangerous, period. You got to do what you have to do, but it's not necessarily in your travel houses. But see, then we have to get a little bit more in particular because, you know, whatever your third house ruler is, it may be in opposition to Mars when you were born. Now, this is being triggered, so now this represents that you should. Everybody, since it's an angle that's in the sky, everybody has to be cautious right now. Everybody got to be cautious. It may not necessarily be in those areas for you. I have to see it in totality because there's other techniques I can use that's hidden, that's there. You know what I mean? Bob. Right. So everybody should just be cautious at this particular time. That's why I said earlier, everybody get a spiritual text that you, whatever you use for spiritual, you know, your spiritual enlightenment, put that on your being in your car as you travel. It's very important during this particular time, you know.
Gotcha. All right. Appreciate that, Apple.
But yeah, indeed, man. It sounds like you need some relationship compatibility stuff going on if you have to make a decision type of thing. You know what I mean? But, yeah, get with us, man.
All right. Appreciate it, bro. All right,
you got it. All right, I see the end. Do I see the end of the line? Don't tell me I see the end of the line. I do. I see the end of the line. Where am I here? 786, don't go nowhere because you've been there for almost an hour, 52 minutes. I got you next, all right? 786-468, don't go nowhere. I'm coming to you next because you've been there for a minute. 202-425, what's happening?
Hey, peace, Brother Anpu. I had a quick question. I'm a Taurus, and I've been experiencing some difficulties as far as, like, business communication. I had a situation with my landlord, and I know you was talking about that eight-month cycle.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see what I could do to kind of make sure that communication and everything goes right in my business, personal affairs.
Mm-hmm. What's your rising sign, you know?
I'm not familiar with the chart and everything at all. That's why I just had to say what my sign was.
What I would need really is the birth data to get into the specific to that one specific area that I'm looking for. But generally speaking, to give you some insight about this 8 month transit, to be a Scorpio, and the energy is really the Mars energy is over in one sign over.
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, I'm sorry. Taurus. Okay, Taurus. So being a Taurus, then the energy is at a and Libra is at 150 degrees away from you. So at some point in time, this is going to be a very agitating energy for you. When I have to see the exact degree where your sun is, and this is the exact same marker that Trayvon Martin got murdered on Mars. In the sky was at the exact 150 degree angle to where his son was at when he was born. It's called an inconjunct or a quincunx. So it's agitation. I don't like it because they have nothing in common. The only thing, it don't have nothing in common, but it's truly one is masculine and one is feminine. You see what I'm saying? Mars is a masculine planet in itself, but the constellation that is in the masculine energy of Libra, which is air, and being that you're a Taurus that's a feminine constellation that deals with an earth element. So it's male female energies that balance itself out from a yin yang perspective, but the nature of the zodiac signs have nothing in common. So you may experience some slight agitation here. Solar-wise, where are we at? The sun is in Capricorn. We'll be going into Capricorn, rather. So from December 25th to mid-January, January 21st, up in that area, as the sun is here in Capricorn, you would pick up a trine from the sun. So a month, this is from the Christmas time to a month, the sun is in a very favorable position for you to have some type of ease in your life that deals with finances and taking care of business. So you can look forward to that just based off the sun's position alone. But to get into the specific area of your life right there, I would need to get your birth time or birthday and pull up the wheel. What you can do on a free aspect is call in on Friday. You got to call in early, man.
What time on Friday? I'm normally at
Friday at 11:45 a.m., right? 15 minutes before noon is when we take callers. And I can make a side note that I do right now, 202-425, to take your call. If I see you on the queue, I'll put you as caller number one, all right?
Okay.
And take your call, but you got to call in at 11:45 because the lines fill up very fast, and then I have to scroll all the way down the switchboard and look for you and whatnot. But
yeah,
you can call in for a free consultation on Friday.
Okay, yeah, and it just so happens the first three numbers of my phone number is actually my birth date, birth month and day, 425.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, but thanks for that, though.
Yeah, you got it, man. So you got a good month coming, but call in. We give you a free video, man. All right?
Okay. All right, thanks.
All right, okay, peace. Hey, where that caller go that was there for a long time? I've been there for a real long time. What happened to him? Gone? All right, told you didn't go nowhere. 336-587, what happened? 424, you fresh on the board, man. 336-587, what's happening? Can you hear me? I hear you.
Hey,
what's happening?
Going on, Lord?
Hey, man, who is Coach?
Man, you know, I just had to come in, just listening in, watching drop bombs on cats. I need to send you some summer tips. Now, you playing.
I know, man. I got to get some. Hold on, Coach. Stay right there. Your line is open. But stay right there, because I know how. Hey, Coach, you really a Gemini. You ain't going to fool me. Hold on, Coach. 424-204. You got a question? 424, once, twice, 786, I'm coming to you. Just put your hand up. I think you was the person. 786-468, you there?
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
My name is Blaze, by the way. I had a Mars, Pluto, and Saturn and Scorpio right now. Like, I was wondering what was the effects of that.
Yeah, what house is it in?
In the eighth house, Scorpio.
Oh, shit, man, you're a mystic. You're in anything dealing with investigations of the occult sciences. If you were born with that placement in Scorpio, and then if it's in that particular house for you right now, it's just getting into the realm of what we call occult and hidden things. But it's also one thing about Scorpio that people need to understand, and I'm glad Coach is on, is getting into the aspect of understanding finances, man, taking financial responsibility. I personally say with Saturn and Scorpio, I think that's an exaltation. Saturn's energy is known to be cold and dark, and that's a Scorpio frequency. I think Saturn's exalted in Scorpio, and it tells us how we need to have responsibility inside of joint relationships to gel it all together. So it has some financial aspect to it, but at the same time, it's almost like a Leo frequency where you can go anywhere with the energy because it represents extreme power. So it goes from being a private investigator to dealing with some type of forensic type of work, to being a ghost hunter in the graveyard, to dealing with all the metaphysical sciences, sex magic, psychology. Literally, you can go off and be a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You can go into that field. It represents healing and regeneration. Like, Scorpio is a very versatile, even though it's fixed, it is probably, to me, I think it is the most versatile sign out of them all, because they just do some of those things I just named. So you have to become comfortable with knowing that you have the power to tap into just about any of these areas, and don't become upset or what we would call indecisive or confused, because like, oh, I want to do this, oh, I want to do this. You got to understand that you wear all of these hats, and you just gotta put it in the right time frame in which you can accomplish these many great things that Scorpio power can get done. So for you, it's just all in those areas right there. I think your call dropped. It did. His call dropped. But anyway, Coach, what's happening, man?
Man, you on fire tonight. That's all I can say. Like, I'm over here, like, pressing my keyboard, like,
Yeah. Let me bring your comrade in here with you, man. Prime Minister, you there?
Yo.
Yeah, yeah. Let me do this because I know Coach the Mega Gemini is on. Visit the website, everybody, myastrologycoach.com. Click on the events tab, man. Sign up for the Winter Solstice Fire Puja, man. Do that, all right? Do that. And then, again, anybody that want to give to the Christmas Fund, our first annual giveaway, we're going to give something, anything, clothes, anything, just send it to the P.O. Box. I gave out the P.O. Box, which is IPORM, stand for Inner Peace, Outer Reflection Ministries. You can abbreviate it, IPORM, P.O. Box, 3200 Joliet, Illinois, 60434, whatever you want to give away. But, again, visit the website, myastrologycoach.com. Click on the events tab. And also, man, check out me and Keisha do free readings on Friday. So if you would like a reading, check us out Friday at 12 noon, but call in 15 minutes early. If you want to join the network, man, go check out the Astro Tarot Network, My Astrology Coach, and just click on the membership tab and join one of the many fabulous programs we have. Prime Minister, if you got something, go ahead and kick it, because when Coach drop it, we're gonna let Coach ride us on up out of here. So go ahead.
Man, I don't know. Hey, all I'm going to say is this visual presentation we got coming out, Noble, I got some astro specs, boy. We're going to wait until we get off the pedal, though. I'm talking about boy. I got some specs, Noble. I'm talking about some specs. But look, man, no, Coach, go ahead, man. I was just sitting back listening, man, over my lineup. I'm over here in the lab, buddy. Man, y'all go ahead and do your thing.
Man, what you got, Coach? I know when you coming.
Nah, I was chilling myself until that one thing, to the one sister came in. You know, your specialty, you love the 12th house. Me myself, I'm a latchkey kid. You know, I come up from a divorced family, so I'm a 7th house astrologer, 7th and 8th. You know, because I don't necessarily look at the 7th as marriage, because no matter what we men say, the women say, when we having sex, we married. So I look at the 8th house as marriage and the 7th house as relationship. You know, I ain't really got to share everything with you in the 7th house. The bus driver, you know, he can be in a relationship with me because he dropped me off. We rode 5 blocks together, and I got there safely. A great relationship. That's 7th house. But we might not have sex, though. But in the 8th house, we're talking about shared resources, inheritances, all that come out of transformation and sex. But anyway, you know, that's just a point to put in somebody's new book, you know, because everybody says the 7th house is marriage. But when the sister was talking about the Aries, and she was being very general in, you know, the aspects of whether she wanted to stay with somebody, it came to mind an example I had when I was staying with an Aries, but I didn't know that her north node was in Gemini. Like, her north node is like somebody, you know, your north node to me is like that's your spiritual GPS, your whole chart. And it was at 19 degrees Gemini where my Mars is at. But at this time, this was like 2005, so I didn't have 2004, really, I ain't had an understanding of the sciences like that. But later on, through studying with the elder, she always kept saying, yo, it's like you coming at me, it's like you coming at me. So there's so many different aspects that you have to look at, because my Mars energy was sitting on her north node, and that's a very sensitive spot for people.
That's dangerous.
and the way I used to always refer to her, and even in my coaching, I say, I'm not getting married to no time bomb. Because for her, she just thought she'd get angry. She'd start walking around the house all quiet. And then she'd be brushing her teeth. And the next thing you know, she'd just blow up. And I'd be like, I'm sleeping next to a time bomb. So this is for people who I am studying and who are listening tonight, had great questions and stuff. Watch how your Mars affects a person's north node. That's my relationship for the day. I mean, all that on the 5th house was great. I ain't got time to ask my question because I don't have children. I got Capricorn on the 5th, but Minister Judah told me, yo, you got to get the karma straight around all that. So I ain't worried about that. But my advice for people who are studying and you're getting into a relationship, look, because Mars is going to agitate somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's either going to motivate, activate, or agitate. That's what it's going to do. So if it's a square, then it doesn't mean you don't have to get with them. You just have to be much more careful. You see what I'm saying? My son and Apu's son square one another, but we still have a great relationship because we know you can build on a square. We can build on a square. It ain't no holding up. You know, these cats calling me psychically in the Jew just at the moment's notice, and I'm just like, y'all just thinking about this brother. And it was all love in the conversation. So check out, see how the aspect with Joe Mars and a person's north node. And if you don't know how to do synastry charts, get up with Minister Jew. Go over to myastrologycoach.com, click on Minister Jew, and get you an appointment ASAP. You know what I mean? And let that brother check you out. That's basically my two cents worth on that. Also, big shouts out to everybody who hit me up from and got some ancestor money from, you know, from listening to the show, and everybody who got the gender harmonics for, you know, for dealing with relationships. So I really appreciate everybody who listened in to Ampu and Jew and the whole fam who came out and was like, Coach, let me get that document. I mean, it was crazy, son. I mean, I had people who was like, yo, I wanted to partner relationships, and I'm still seeing people go over to HustleUniversityBooks.com and download the free book I got for them over there, you know. And I'm getting ready to do like a whole Christmas sale on putting that whole Hustle University package together. Like, that's just going to be the cyber sale of the century. Because those five books, everybody got like you was identifying the fifth house and what's in it. Well, everybody got a second house. And that's you making your own personal money. That's the hustle house. That's what you do, you know. So some people may hustle harder. Like, I'm a hard hustler, but I'm not the hardest hustler because I got Libra on the second. So I don't really hustle as hard as maybe somebody got a Capricorn on the second or something like that. But we all have a hustle in us, and you have to identify what is your particular, you know, method of doing it. And I like to always call it romantic, you know, romance and finance. So the sister was talking about being in a relationship. Of course, I want somebody to respect me, but I don't want to be in no relationship where we stand in the projects neither, you know. So I think that's definitely, people don't discuss that before they get married or before they get in a relationship, is, you know, how we're going to continue building this dynasty, you know. I think you need to do just a show on romance and finance, especially you and Jew, because y'all the ones, you know, married, and of course, y'all, how do you pick a mate that's going to listen to you talk about money and support you? You know, that's a mean topic right there. So, Minister Jew, I know you're writing it down in the lab. So,
we're going to do it in February. That's that. We did it a year ago. We did something called the Astro Dynamics of Relationship Energy, which was talking about I Adore You. We called it I Adore You, that dealt with that. You know? So, you know what? We're going to put up that Valentine's Day in February in Chicago.
Oh, there it is then. Oh, yeah. My last part. I do got a shamelessly plug. Yo, we got this cruise, man. Ample say he can't make it, but we're going to be at everybody up under the Sirius Dog Star. If you ain't with Ample, you need to be over there with Coach. We're going to the Bahamas. Jump on the boat with us. We're going to be down there for 3 days, me and Lord Strayhorn. The number Swami is going to be real crazy. 4 days out there on the water with Coach and Lord Strayhorn. It's going to be bananas. So go to the website. What is it? AstrologyCruiseByTheNumbers.info. AstrologyCruiseByTheNumbers.info. Still got a $50 deposit. We'll hold your cabin up until December the 14th or something like that. But all the information is on that particular website, which really takes you to a Facebook page, but that's all. It's still a website. So we're just making it easy for people. AstrologyCruiseByTheNumbers.info. We're going to holler at y'all. It's going to be crazy.
That's what it is, man. Lloyd Strayhorn. Been on Oprah, million books sold on Numbers, and me and Lloyd got the same birthday, man. So Lloyd is official tissue. So,
right, yeah, I'm telling you. And the Numbers Swami, man, over there, like I said, you got a high draft recruit over there. You got Michael Jordan at the third pick with the Numbers Swami over there on Hip Hop Astrology. So everybody, check her blog out ASAP. I mean, you know, Minister Jew always been hitting hard, but now y'all coming over there like LeBron and Wade coming down the court, or, you know, looking like a Bananas All-Star team over there. So, definitely.
That's what it is, man. That's what it is.
So check it out, man. That's it, man. We up out of here. Everybody enjoy y'all day. And, again, like I said, Keisha and me and Keisha be up on Friday for free readings. Call in at 12 noon. But visit the website, myastrologycoach.com, and we see y'all later in the week. Peace.